good morning. Good morning, citizens of Dallas and friends of Dallas. It is 9:01. We will now begin today's... In-town Shabbat. Rabbi Drizin runs the In-town Shabbat in Uptown. In-town and Uptown, which is the center dedicated to the education for young adults. He has received his rabbinical ordination in Jerusalem at the age of 22. And for those of you that watch YouTube, he is known as the YouTube Rabbi due to his early adaption to social networks. He's happily married and is the proud father of two. Thank you, Rabbi Drizin, for joining us this morning. If everyone could rise for the invocation.
Almighty God, we stand before you in prayer. Look favorably upon the mayor and honorable members of the city council of our great city of Dallas. We beseech you, almighty and merciful God, to extend your grace to each and every member of this august body and bestow upon them the joy of life, good health, and prosperity. Bless these distinguished individuals who have been chosen to make laws and decisions for the citizens of our city. Grant these public servants wisdom and understanding in their noble pursuit of justice and equality. Give them guidance so that they will always be conscious of your presence and will strive to enact laws with honesty and integrity in accordance with your will. May they have wisdom to turn adversity into opportunity and to transform the hard challenges we face today into the seeds from which will sprout the growth of tomorrow. May our city serve as a beacon of light for people of all faiths and walks of life. May Dallas help achieve the goal so powerfully stated in our Pledge of Allegiance, so that America is truly one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let us say amen.
Amen.
And if I may add one more thing, dear God, please save us from the sweltering heat.
Amen. Miss McGarland, would you lead us? Please, to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. It will be, I will try to make it my tradition to brag on the city of Dallas whenever we have public meetings. One of the gifts that I get is to see Dallas at its best from time to time. And I spoke about Dallas Theater Center and some of the performances there. Since last we met, I got to play golf at Cedar Crest Golf Club. This is my first time. And if anybody in this audience is a golfer, get out there. It's in Mr. Caraway's district, and it's a fine establishment. We're going to be opening up Stevens Golf Course this fall, and really very, very fine. We also had our back-to-school fair where we had over 35,000 people at Fair Park. Fair Park brought in and handled it wonderfully with many corporate citizens. And we're getting ready to go back to school on August 22nd. Council, we're sending out a memo this morning, I think, if it wasn't sent out last night, that we're going to be starting a briefing on that day at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I would like to challenge everybody to get out to one school in your district and meet with the principal, shake the hands of the students, and I think it'll be a great day on August 22nd. Thank you. So let us begin with the agenda. Madam Secretary, do we have any public speakers?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. You have your first speaker this morning is Betty Huey, followed by Bertie Evans. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. please state your name and address for the record. You will direct your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Betty Huey. Betty Huey? Not present. Bertie Evans? Bertie Evans, not present. Josephine Orozco? I'm sorry. Bertie Evans, please step up to the podium. If you'll state your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you.
We'll need you to please bring the microphone down. Thank you.
Thank you. Distinguished members of the council, thank you for hearing me and thank you for having me this morning. I am Bertie Evans, a lifetime resident of Dallas, Texas. I am here speaking on behalf of the seniors' medical transportation for the city of Dallas. Having been a lifetime resident of Dallas, Texas, I just want to say God bless the day that I received a call from a very dear friend of mine telling me about the seniors' medical transportation. I am and have always been a non-driver. I am the mother of five children, four of whom are disabled. I myself am a heart patient. I have a device. And I have a daughter who has had two cerebral strokes, many health issues that prevent me from taking public transportation. Between the two of us, it would be very hard to have to transfer and get on and off buses as many medical appointments as we have. I believe that the medical transportation have really, I know that they have really been a lifesaver for me, getting me and my family to and from the doctor, as we are scattered out all over the city, and it's just impossible for me to get there three or four times a week. We have appointments to see the doctor. So I hope, and it is my prayer today, that you will continue to support the medical transportation senior program for the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Evans. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Josephine Orozco. Josephine Orozco.
Good morning and congratulations to you, Mike Rawlings, Honorable Mayor, and to you, Pauline Madonna, Mayor Pro Tem, and to you, Senator Atkins, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem. And thank you to Mary Shume, our city manager, for allowing us to be included in the senior services budget. I represent District 12 from the Senior Affairs Commission. I reside at 2415 Tyler in Dallas. Today I am speaking on behalf of the 2011-2012 proposed budget for senior affairs. The objective, maintaining funding for senior services, which includes the senior ombudsman and two grant funded positions for senior services. We are also requesting one additional bilingual caseworker. With the increase in the senior population, these positions should be maintained and one additional position added. Senior Services coordinates services between city departments and the community. Senior Services also assesses senior needs and seeks options to address gaps in service. The Ombudsman's position solves complex senior issues and works directly with senior and other agencies. Our goal is to have a bilingual caseworker in Senior Services. Because of the diversity of the older population, that which being 60 plus and up, and the challenges are presented when the bilingual caseworker is not on staff. Presently, we are looking at a 35.6% population that is Hispanic, and Spanish is the second language in the U.S. A bilingual and bicultural staff person would be able to help in addressing the needs of the underserved in the community. A bilingual staff person would enhance programming with particular emphasis on the needs of the Hispanic Latino senior population, deepen connections between the City of Dallas Senior Services Program and the Hispanic Latino community, business and nonprofits organizations because of their capacity to work respectfully in a multicultural environment, respond to the unmet needs of the Hispanic and Latino seniors and seek to improve their quality of life through education, information, and referral for needed services, i.e., assist in food translation, utilities, mental health, legal, dental, transportation, and technology. It is our desire to ensure that the City of Dallas Senior Services Program offer diverse programming, have adequate resources and support, and is staffed appropriately to meet the needs of the Dallas citizens. We want to thank you, and I appreciate this time that you've given us today on behalf of the Senior Citizens Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Orozco. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Paul Hoffman. Mr. Hoffman will be followed by Henrietta Herndon.
Good morning. My name is Paul Hoffman, 1420 West Mockingbird, Dallas. I'm the Executive Director of Community Dental Care. Mayor Rawlings, City Council members, City Manager, City staff, I'm here today to thank all of you for supporting funding in the general fund budget for dental care for low-income seniors. We would also like to thank the many senior organizations and individuals who have advocated on our behalf and who have educated about the needs for the most vulnerable seniors among us who are dentally underserved. As you're probably aware, we have really good access now for low-income seniors. We have a location in Vickery Meadow. We have a location in East Dallas. We have a location in Northwest Oak Cliff. We have a location in South Oak Cliff. And we most recently opened a location in Pleasant Grove. Over one-third of the seniors who come to us have no teeth. Because of your funding, after dental treatment, these seniors are able to live independently and return to optimum health. We thank you, and more importantly, those less fortunate than ourselves, thank you for your support and your commitment. God bless you.
God bless you, Mr. Hoffman. Thank you for your work.
Your next speaker is Henrietta Herndon.
Good morning, Mayor Rawlings, council members. I'm Henrietta Herndon, and my address is 6203 Shady Brook Lane, Dallas 75206. Council members, Mayor Rawlings, we thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you this morning. We are incredibly grateful for the support the city has given to the senior employment program. And your commitment last year, despite all of your budget challenges, to fund this program in the amount of $38,000. It was the right decision then, and it's the right thing to do again this year. Now, more than ever before, the funding is crucial for the provision of needed employment assistance for low-income older adults in our community. So many seniors in our community come to us desperate to find a job that will allow them to survive from one month, to another. They have a strong work ethic and want to support themselves. This funding is crucial in helping them to do just that. On behalf of the older adults that we serve, we are asking for your support of this needed program. Please include $50,000 for the senior employment source in the City of Dallas budget. While this program benefits the older adults in our community, It also benefits the city of Dallas. As we move through these tough times and look forward to the economic vibrancy our city will experience very soon, with this minimum funding, we will be helping older adults go to work and contribute to our economy. They will be paying taxes, purchasing goods, and sharing a lifetime of experience and wisdom that make our city great. With this funding, we will be able to help move the 200 or so low-income seniors and age 60 and above in their job search process. For example, people like Mr. L, who lost his home, was living on the street with no transportation, but he wanted to work. He would walk to our office and help, and we would help him look for jobs. We will help him complete applications, basically go through the job search process. It took a while, but he found a job and he's working out just well for him. The job is working out just well for him. We are proud to be a part of making that kind of difference in older adults' lives. In our youth-oriented society, it is particularly hard to start over and sell yourself if you're 60 and low income, even so if you have minimum education. So please help us to continue helping low-income older adults. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Herndon. Senior citizens are extremely important to this citizen, to the city, and we appreciate the folks that have come down and spoken on behalf of the over 300,000 senior citizens in Dallas. I'm pleased to see this budget is keeping that funding for next year that it was last year. So thank you. Next speaker.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good morning. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, City Council. I appreciate being here. Here to speak about ethics, the homeless, and the Trinity. Are three of the most important issues facing Dallas: ethics, two, the homeless, three, the Trinity. Ethics is about conduct, the way people treat each other, the way society functions, and the way our government conducts itself in representing our interests. The homeless are those less fortunate, without the means to care for themselves, and they are an indicator of the ethics of society. The Trinity is the project that will either bring Dallas together, possibly help define Dallas as a world-class city in the company of New York, London, and Paris, or it will continue to disgrace Dallas, showing our dark side, our unethical side to the world, because we have yet to become a constitutional, ethical, weights and measures culture society. The major difference between Dallas and the latter three world-class cities is their accomplishments of something of major significance to history and humanity, the offering of something of great significance to the rest of the world that people want to come and see and experience. They all suffered to get there. With the recent FBI raid on the county official and its very wide net and its interconnectedness with the city, combined with the still ongoing City Hall corruption case, and the economy, the weather, and society's general breakdown, is all this a sign of major ethical failures of biblical proportions? Specific to Dallas City Hall, what has our existing ethics code and ethics process done to stop or mitigate corruption at City Hall? I have perhaps filed more ethics complaints than anyone else since the code was instituted in Miller's administration in 2003. I think I know more than most about the ethics code. Dallas ethics process couldn't remove D'Angelo Lee as a planning commissioner, but a federal lawsuit put him in prison. During the first 3 years of the new ethics code, Dallas city government produced the city's biggest corruption case. Now there's another cloud over the city with a major city official involved with a prime FBI suspect. The thing that's truly going to improve for all our citizens, and if any good is going to come from Dallas to the rest of the world, we must start with a real, not PR, billboard ethics reform, resulting in a new ethics code to give our city a strong foundation. First got involved with Dallas politics 8 years ago as a homeless advocate, and during that time, the administration was making it increasingly difficult for the homeless to survive, treating them like, excuse me, cockroaches, with Miller's collective laws being like a can of raid. Basically, we can do better for the homeless by reaching out to the people of our city, putting politics aside. If we follow the three steps in fulfilling Dallas' true potential as a world-class city, we will become a true, quote-unquote, Trinity City. A Trinity City of good government, good business, and good people. If we make ethics, Socratic Christian ethics, the foundation of the operating principles of city government, and we take care of our homeless, then the third step, a world-class Trinity River Park, will be God's gift to us, I pray. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan. You're welcome. All right. Ms. Caraway, I think you've got guests here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and to the City Council and to everyone. Let me just first say that if we've been watching the news, you've seen some things happening lately as related to teenagers and teenage violence that's going on even well across in London. And you've seen some recent activity as related to Philadelphia as of yesterday. I am very, very proud, Mr. Mayor, to say and to have a group of youngsters, and I'll call them youngsters and students, here with us today. They've been with us several times. I love for the group to stand that's here in yellow. And while they're standing, Mr. Mayor, through your leadership and our commitment to make sure that our students and our kids in the city are safe and have folks that they can look up to. This is a part of a group that came to the Dallas City Council that was formulated there, and the name is the Man Up Group. Of course, back when we started the Pull Your Pants Up and all of that, it has triggered so very much and across America. And it started right here in Dallas. We've always been on the lead. I'm so very proud of the founder of the Man Up Group, Curtis Ferguson, because at Carter High School, even though they attend that high school, that particular facility, the kids are from Lancaster, DeSoto, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, Oak Cliff, Townview, Lancaster High School, all over the city. And that's what's very important. I'm introducing today, of course, the Man Up Group, but we also, you see, everyone is not a man that's up there. So now we have the Queens organization that have enjoined with the Man Up Group, so now we got the men and the little ladies. And because the kids on both sides of the fence need to have somebody to look up to. So I want to recognize, and these folks are in junior high school, and they range from the age of 13 to 18. And currently, they are on the lead showing the kids in this city how and what the expectations should be. And I want to recognize the Man Up Group and the Queens organization and Ms. Jennifer Greer, the sponsor, and the two Ms. Nelsons that are there today, and to just say, hey, we're watching you guys. And you guys and ladies are on the lead, and other kids are watching you. And it's what you do that will make a difference. And that they will pattern their lives behind you. And I wanted you all to know that the mayor of our city and the entire Dallas City Council and the city of Dallas, we are so behind you. So get out there and continue to do the good work, the good deeds, and show leadership and get folks to keep their pants pulled up, get their grades under control, stay away from drugs, and show them that you, the Man Up Group and the Queens organization, know how to move in the right direction. So with that, Mayor, thank you for
thank
allowing
you.
Me the opportunity to recognize
to
those outstanding citizens.
Mr. Allen?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you and I were, and you spoke yesterday at a function put on by Congresswoman Johnson, and you talked about leadership. You talked about the future of our youth and such, and that's exactly, I think, what we're seeing right here today, the Man Up Group. Our hats are off to you. We know that y'all are indeed future leaders for this great city, and whether you live in Dallas or wherever you go, you will be a leader because you're standing up right now. And I just want to do a big shout-out to Councilman Caraway. You know, with your team summits, I remember when this got started. And here's the fruits of your labor, over and over and over again. We see the fruits of your labor. We see the love that you have for our youth. And my hat goes off for you. And what's neat about it, you got another 4 years in front of you, buddy. No telling what you're going to do.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. With that, let's get into the voting agenda. We will first look at the consent agenda. We have items 1 through 51. Excuse me? I'm sorry. This is my first time. You're right. Thank you. So let's, Madam Secretary, we want to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Approval, item number 1 is approval of minutes of the June 22, 2011 City Council meeting, June 27, 2011 special called meeting, and June 27, 2011 inaugural meeting. There was an amendment to the June 27th minutes corrected to show attendance correction for Mr. Carraway.
Good day, Mr. Atkins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Now we'll go to the consent agenda. Items 1 through 51, items 8, 20, 21, and 41 have been pulled. Madam Secretary, do we have any speakers on the consent agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. You have Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard, representing the J.B. Jackson Jr. Institute, which is dedicated to the memory of J.B. Jackson Jr., Alva Lewis Lipscomb, Elsa Faye Higgins, Francisco Pancho Medrano, Ogilvy Raven, James Brown, and all of those who filed the first voting rights lawsuits that brought us to where we are now. But I am speaking on all agenda items, in particular the consent agenda. And items 2 through 9, I just want to ask a particular question. Is there any minority contractors on any of these? And the reason I ask is because with the ongoing investigation by the FBI, hopefully that minority contractors will not be singled out. And I'm speaking out in defense of those contractors who adhere to the process. And I think that it's very important in the African-American community in particular, in looking at this consent agenda and items 2, 3, 9, that we demand accountability from minority contractors and from elected officials in that regard to business development and procurement. We have to do that, demand accountability from the contractors and demand accountability from the elected officials, because I hopefully the young people don't be out in the streets running around and doing different things, and we have to do that to be able to take our city forward. And secondly, on the agenda, I want to speak on boards and commissions and the evaluation of the boards and the commissioners, and regarding the redistricting commission. And I have been following that process and going to the meetings and speaking out. And I understand three maps that will come before the council for you to decide what you're going to do. And I remember Mr. Steve Salazar, former councilman Steve Salazar, warned council members the last time that this is a very difficult issue, and people, you know, get mad at each other and everything. But at the end of it, hopefully everybody can come together. We can get something to move our city forward. But as I sit down again, I want to emphasize accountability. We're going to be stressing that in the African-American community, some of us, from the public officials, elected officials, and from the minority contractors. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw, and thank you for your leadership. Any other speakers? Mrs. Jenner?
If I may please just notify the general public, we received some inquiries. The council rules allow for 5 speakers in the morning. Therefore, anybody that was not called this morning will be speaking in the afternoon, which will be after 1 o'clock, but it'll be toward at the end of the meeting. Thank you. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
All right. I also misspoke. Let's review what we're going to be doing in the consent agenda, items 1 through 51. It's items 8, 20, 31, and 41. I think I said 21 earlier. So it's items pulled, or items 8, 20, 31, and 41. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Coop, Ms. Medrano, any discussion? Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Excuse me. Yeah.
All right, we will go to item
Excuse me. Oh, right now. Okay, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Also, thank you.
I learned how to use the machine.
Thank you, Marvin, for coming up. Gene, so we come forward, please, Gene? And, you know, one thing we have been doing in the city of Dallas for the last 4 years, Delahanta and myself, we generally look at all contract and make sure we had a good faith effort. And I would like to thank Jean Chipperfield and her staff. You know, when we do find a mistake, we generally bring it to the light. One thing that Jean and her staff do, she's trying to make sure that we at the City of Dallas do make a great good faith effort to make sure that we do have minority participation in all our contract with the City of Dallas. On June the 15th, there was a mistake that was made, and staff, you know, did a due diligence. They took their time and found out how the mistake was made, and they corrected the mistake. And Gene, I want to thank you and all your staff people for doing a great job to bring to our attention. And I would just like to, for you to tell us a mistake was made, how the mistake was made, and you did correct the mistake.
Yes, we had some incorrect information on your agenda item for the employee retiree healthcare agenda item. When we found that the mistake was made by our staff, we worked to correct that information, and we have subsequently sent you a memo just sending out the corrected information. So we apologize for the mistake.
And Mara, you know, and that's what's great with the City of Dallas and with Gene Chipperfield and her staff. You know, every other week they sit down and meet with Delahanta and myself, and we go over the procurement. We try to make sure we do have a minority participation in all our contracts. It's by state law. We don't have to do that. It's a good faith effort, but they do a great job. And I just want to recognize them, and also want to recognize them soon for you to take the time to let them come and talk to us before all of the contracts is go before the City Council. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Thank you. Gene, if you can just stay up. I am on the board of the Employees Retirement, and I just ask next time if you do this and make a correction, if you just let me know as well. And Ms. Atkins, I do, too, meet with them as well. So if you just find any type of little mistake, if you just let me know, I would surely appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Ms. Hasso?
Thank you, Mayor. Gene and Mary and colleagues, Mr. Atkins is right. We meet with procurement staff twice a month, and we go over all of the contracts. We look to see what the percentage of minority involvement is and make sure that we're trying to meet our goals. And Gene, you guys are very patient with us. You listen to our comments. You act on those comments, and I just want to thank you for that work, and look forward to continued understanding of what's happening with especially minority business contracts. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Let's proceed to our first individual item.
We do have a couple of council members. Ms. Councilmember Caraway is signed up to speak.
I'm sorry. I'm missing my initiative. Mr. Caraway?
Oh, well no, Mayor. Go ahead. I know we're trying to get used to what's going on. Okay. And I can hold my comments. Just wanted to say to Ms. Chipperfield, we had a meeting the other day on a different issue. And again, it is something that I just want to say from that meeting, I think that we came with a conclusion and understanding as to how we should move forward.
Okay, thank you. All right, now let's go to the individual items.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now to item number 8, authorize the sale of one 2006 Bell 407 helicopter through the Cooperative Purchasing Network public auction on June 28, 2011 to Brown Helicopters, Inc., highest bidder.
Council, I'm going to ask to look at use Robert Rules of Order here in this process, and as we do this, I'd like motions and seconds first, and then we'll get into discussion. Entertain a motion for approval of this item. Ms. McGrone, second. Second. All right, any discussion? Mr. Allen, I think you pulled it. Do you want to discuss it?
Correct. Chief Brown?
Yes.
Lieutenant Graham, too, also, it's a pleasure to see you here. I've had the opportunity to go up in Air One with you on a couple of occasions. The professionalism of your staff, I can't say enough for how much confidence I have in the ability of the helicopter unit. So anyway, with that, you know, Chief, one of the things that I've seen over time here at Council the last 4 years is we've spent millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on Homeland Security. A lot of that's grant money, but millions and millions. And a lot of that equipment that we purchase sits idle. And it's not very valuable when it's idle, but when it's needed, it becomes extremely valuable. As I was looking at the selling of this particular helicopter, I noticed it was 600 hours or so is what we use it at, and I noticed the differential was of the smaller helicopters was about $92 an hour is what it costs more to run the larger, counting maintenance, counting the gas, about 92. So when you do the math on that, that's about $55,000 more to run the big helicopter, maintenance, gas, than it is for the smaller ones. Homeland Security was, I think, one of the things that we talked about, or I think when it was purchased, because it allowed the opportunity for other officers to get in the helicopter, be available to them. I guess my question to you, at this dollar amount, does this thing, I think you're sold on the idea to sell the helicopter. But where I'm going is $55,000, what's your comments on that?
What we've learned from having several large events here in the area where we anticipated the use of a transport helicopter would be needed is we've had the NBA All-Star Game, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, a large parade celebration where we initially anticipated a need for a transport helicopter that never really played out. There are several things that changed since we did an analysis and determined a need for a transport helicopter. First of all, that our regional law enforcement partners have adequately supported us in very large ways with access to transport helicopters from local, state, and federal partners in the area that could respond if needed. And also, we haven't ever used it, this transport helicopter, for its intended use. There hasn't been a need for it. Even in the extreme case where we would need it, and the federal partners or the state partners or other regional partners were tied up, Bell Helicopter is local, and we've talked with them about it. And there's another private helicopter corporation that's local that if we needed that, we could easily have access either by renting or leasing for the period that we needed it. It's a much more efficient way to use the money, and the bottom line is every department is going through this type of analysis determining whether or not these types of equipment can be received through other means rather than having them sit and the usage not be for what its intended purpose was. And we have great relationships with all of these people I've named, and I'm confident that there won't be a negative impact on public safety, particularly in the area of Homeland Security with this sale, because we have access to that type of helicopter. There's 7 or 8 options we would have that are here in the area, and I'm confident this is the right thing to do for Dallas.
You know, once you lose that helicopter, it's going to be hard to ever get it back. So that's 'cause once you lose it, it'll take you years of fighting to get you another one and to do this. I just want to make sure we understood, or at least I understood from the servicing standpoint, it wasn't that big of an expense from the servicing, the $55,000, compared to the overall budget that we've got. We just spent, $2 million servicing radios. So I wanted to put that in comparison to that.
Mr. Allen, I would add on that expense not just the $55,000 difference in the fuel, but the $1.4 million that ended up saving, in my opinion, impact on civilian personnel in the police department who keeps officers in the field rather than being inside doing clerical work. That was a significant decision for me on going with the sale and getting that $1.4 million rather than having to look at more layoffs in the police department of civilian personnel.
Well, obviously, I respect your opinion, and as I respect you.
Thank you.
And so I'm going to go with whatever your recommendation is on this, and I just want to get a clarification on this. And I do, and bear with me on this, because I respect Lieutenant Graham just so much after being with him and seeing the professionalism. I can't say enough of watching that the helicopter unit, and at least when I was with them, the professionalism and the way they carried this out. So if I could, Lieutenant Graham, could you kind of give me your thoughts?
We have two other aircraft that can perform the functions on a daily basis, and as Chief mentioned, we've got multiple other aircraft in the area that can step in and give us a hand. I personally communicated with all the other agencies and corporations, and they understand if we need them in a crisis that we can call on them. And I think the bottom line is if it saves jobs and keeps officers on the streets, then we're for it.
Again, I appreciate your service, appreciate your leadership, and I know when we see, I see Air One up there, that it's being manned by truly professional people that are there to assist the officers on the ground. So, again, make sure that your men and women know that how much we appreciate what they do, because the value that they bring to the service. And Chief, thank you for your leadership in this issue. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I thank you, Mr. Allen. Just as a technical matter, folks, we've got a whole new system up here on how we're speaking. And one of the things I heard you, when you get real close, you start popping. So if everybody just steps back, I think it's very sensitive, Mike. So it'll be good. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor. And Mr. Allen, I agree with you. And Chief, I believe in you. And your recommendation, I'd like to ask for just a few things. One, how quick will we make this sale? And AC, maybe that's a question for you.
I think Gene is coming for that.
Gene is coming. To whom will we sell or attempt to sell this helicopter to? Not necessarily the individual, but the type of
We've already conducted an auction, and so the council is ratifying the sale of the helicopter, and we're selling it to Brown Helicopter.
To who?
Brown Helicopter.
I can't understand.
Brown Helicopters.
Brown Company. Helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now. What? No, okay. All right. I didn't hook that one up, Brown, but I got to see. I understand the clarification. Let me ask this now. And about Brown Helicopters, what about our equipment? And what will Brown do? And what do they do? Do we sell the helicopter as is? What about our equipment, computers, spotlights, and all of that? What is going to take place with that? What do we retain off of this helicopter?
We'll retain all the equipment that was transferred from the retired helicopters when we first purchased that new fleet. We're retaining all that equipment for our existing fleet.
All of that. Now, what about police type of equipment?
That's all being removed and retained.
Everything. So we're going to just sell a helicopter with removing scanners and infrareds and all of
Correct.
The stuff that our helicopter would be equipped with.
Yes, sir.
So it won't go with that. With that, Mr. Allen made a good point, and I'll express that point as well. When we and I'm going to be in favor of moving this thing forward, but not without the statement. Once we get rid of this helicopter, it's important to understand that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when the city of Dallas, should the city of Dallas need to reacquire a helicopter, it's going to be tough. We will not be sitting around this horseshoe. And I need to be convinced that 15 years from now there's a plan, or would be a plan, should we need one, what would take place? Because who knows what our relationships would be then with folks that's communicating and are with us now. I just want to say that I have a old Mercedes myself, and the reason I don't want to get rid of it is because I put so much into maintenance and gas and everything that goes along with it. I kind of want to retain it for a backup, but I do understand the budget circumstances that we're in. So, and I understand the recommendation, and I'm going to support the recommendation. I just want to echo to say that I really would want us to really take a long look and have a plan for 10 years from now. Should we need one? Will we, and what will the Dallas plan be to acquire one? Just want to make that statement. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. McCary. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Chief, I pulled this item because I wanted to make sure I had enough time to get all my questions answered, and kind of one of them was something that Mr. Allen referred to, which is not so much a question as a concern. Once it's gone, it's gone. And we bought it because we thought we needed it. And you're saying that we have the possibility of leasing or renting a helicopter, but that's for an anticipated event, something that we know about. We know that a Super Bowl is coming. We know that a parade is coming. What about an emergency situation where we might need a helicopter like this? We don't have time to go out and contract with somebody to rent or lease. We have the possibility of, in an emergency situation and needing something this size, of getting it quickly?
Yes, and we debated this issue that you're raising and did some scenarios. There's two issues to your question, the natural disaster scenario and the terrorist incident. The natural disaster scenario, you have weather forecasts and you get ahead of it. You stage the resources that you need with all of your partners regionally. And so that's not an issue. That's answered. The terrorist incident, everyone always caught by surprise when that happens. And the helicopter would be for care flighting. And that's a different aspect of helicopter use. Our helicopter use would be for inserting officers in to protect the city. So it would be a different use. There's adequate care flight helicopters in this area. If we needed more, that's a medical issue that we would reach out. The fire department would take the lead to the area care flight helicopters, regional, state, federal, to get that need met in case of getting people who needed treatment to hospitals by care flight. And so in our debate, we continue to be comfortable with two helicopters being adequate for the public safety of Dallas.
Ms. Grayson, we also have overall authority to make emergency purchases that we bring back to you for approval. We have to justify the emergency. So in cases like that, we can make purchases and bring it back to the council for approval. We don't do that lightly, but we do have authority for emergency purchases.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Toon, for that, but I'm also thinking, Chief, that in the instance of a terrorist attack or even a natural emergency, you'd need to transport large numbers of the police to secure an area. And so, I mean, I understand what you're saying about still having the ability to take care flights and move them in, but I'm thinking more of the scenario where you need to transport large numbers of officers in a very big hurry to get an area secured.
We have local federal partners, local state partners that have transport helicopters within the same response time that we would have. The regional approach to leveraging law enforcement resources is what law enforcement across the country is doing, because it's much more efficient, it's cheaper, obviously, and it's more of a collaborative effort. I think you get things done better as well if you collaborate with your partners in law enforcement in the region when you have those catastrophes happen.
I don't disagree with that, Chief. Absolutely. And as long as somebody has a transport helicopter that's in this region that's available to us quickly, then. And my other questions, A.C. Gonzalez answered them very nicely. And the final point I want to make is that I really don't think the only choice we have to save money is between selling this helicopter or letting officers go. I really don't. There's always other options. So I disagreed with that statement in the memo because I don't believe that it's a stark choice between losing officers and selling this helicopter. But I'm going to support this item. Thank you, AC, for answering all my questions. Thank you, Chief.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief Brown, my comment is more general. However, since we're in the discussion, it gives me an opportunity.
to compliment you on the very fine, fine job you are doing for my city, keeping the crime rate down, being sensitive to our budget issues, making considered decisions, and leading a force that is the best in the country. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. I concur, by the way, on that. It's been great to get to know you in a short time. All right, we've got a motion and a second on this item. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Since we have a procedural issue here, I'll entertain a discussion by Ms. Alonzo.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if I may please read the item into the
record. Oh, please. I'm sorry.
Item number 20 is authorize a public hearing to be held on September 14, 2011 to receive public comments concerning the surface use of two locations at LB Houston Park from Royal Lane to Northwest Highway, Golf Course, and Gun Range site for natural gas drilling and mineral production by Trinity East Energy LLC. Thank you.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I would like to go into executive session on this item, please.
We've got a, who's the second? Ms. Davis? I don't think we need a vote here. Mr. Perkins? Okay, if there's no opposition, we'll go into executive session. It is 9:53 a.m. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071. The Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda. Leading issues involving agenda item number 20, authorizing a public hearing concerning surface use of LB Houston Park for natural gas drilling. We will be 15-20 minutes and we'll come back. Thank you. got a... It is 10:17 a.m. The City Council will now reconvene under Section 55.1071 of the Open Meetings Act. We went into closed session involving agenda item number 20, authorizing a public hearing concerning surface use of LB Houston Park for natural gas drilling. I will entertain your thoughts, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. On item number 20, I move to hold this item until 30 days after City Council votes on amendments to gas drilling ordinances.
We had Mr. Griggs seconded. Any questions, discussions?
I have one question for Mr. Perkins.
Yes, Council Member.
Good morning, Mr. Perkins.
Good morning.
Why is this agenda, why is this item on the agenda at this time? Thank you.
There is a state law that requires a public hearing to address the issues associated with the protection of parkland, because this particular item involves drilling on parkland, to address the protection of parkland for non-parkland uses. The city has established a gas drilling task force to address the health and safety issues associated with gas drilling in the city of Dallas on public property. And if it is the will of the council, that hearing can be delayed until the task force completes its work and makes recommendations to the council.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Any other questions, discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried to defer. Next item, Madam Secretary.
We move now to item number 31. Item number 31 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 21,347 square feet of land located near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and South Beltline Road in the City of Dallas, Block 8834, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. This item does require a record vote.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Do we have a motion to approve? Sorry. Oh, Mr. Atkins? Okay. It's technology.
Marilyn, this one I'm going to defer it. For the next agenda, which is the 24th.
All right. Do we have some discussion on this item? Hearing none. Motion's been that we defer this item. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Item number 41 is an ordinance granting a private license to the Adolphus Associates for the use of approximately 269 square feet of aerial space to install and maintain one projection attached video board sign over a portion of Commerce Street near its intersection with Bill Street. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mayor. I pulled this item specifically so I could vote against it. I believe that allowing non-premise video boards downtown or anywhere undermines our billboard ordinance, and so It doesn't matter that it's the Adolphus one. Anywhere it was, I would vote against it. So I pulled it so that I could vote against it.
Thank you. I broke my own rules. I didn't go for a motion and second, but thank you for being clear that. Do we have a motion on this item? Mr. Allen, there was the motion. Mayor Pro Tem second. Any other discussions, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Two no. Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if we can clarify, please, who made the no besides Councilmember Grayson?
Ms. Grayson, Ms. Hunt.
Hunt, thank you.
Next item.
We move now to your standard items for individual consideration. Item number 52 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no nominees for your consideration this morning. Item number 53 is authorized, number one, a placeholder development and operating agreement with the North Oak Cliff Municipal Management District, NOC-MMD, to promote development and redevelopment in the NOC-MMD. And number two, an amendment to resolution number 09-0459 to replace the draft legislation that comprised Exhibit A with a final version of the law that created and governs the NOC-MMD, and to revise Section 4 to allow for an approval process in compliance with state law in the event there are any discrepancies between the conditions for the city's consent to the creation of the NOC-MMD per resolution number 09-0459 and state law. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Madam Secretary, we were talking about 2 seconds. Council members, we're moving to the items that need 2 seconds, and let me be clear about the procedures here. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. I read that because I take this very seriously as mayor. I will expect, as a safety net on our ethics issues, that each person that seconds these things will have examined it, and take you at your word that you've done that. Do I have a motion to approve item number 53?
Yes, Mayor. You do. Yes, I am making the motion to approve this item. Both Councilman Scott Griggs and myself have reviewed the contract. We've reviewed all of the background and the details on this, so I make the motion to approve.
Do we have a second? Mr. Griggs?
Thanks.
Do we have another second? Ms. Hill? Any discussion, questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Item number 54 is authorized supplemental agreement number 6 to the development agreement among the City of Dallas, the Downtown Dallas Development Authority, and FC Merck Complex LP, FC Continental Complex LP, FC Continental Landlord LLC, and FC Continental Manager LLC, to extend the substantial completion date for the Continental Building Improvement Project from December 31, 2011 to December 31, 2012, with the extension of the date for an additional 6 months subject to approval by the Director of Economic Development, Downtown Connection, TIF District. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Second. Ms. McGarland. And Ms. Hill. Okay. Any discussion, questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next items are together, right? 55 and 56?
55 and 56 do need to be considered collectively. For the record, the mayor did read the statement for those public subsidy items. That statement does apply to items number 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, and 59. Item number 55 is authorized an amendment to the development agreement with TIF Hotel, Inc. for the Jewel Hotel expansion project previously approved on May 26, 2010, in tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 11, downtown connection TIF district 2. Number 1, increase minimum private investment by $21,500,000 from $76,500,000 to $98,000,000. Number 2, increase minimum ground floor retail space from 12,500 square feet to a minimum 17,500 square feet of ground floor retail and office space. Number 3, add the building at 1608 Main Street and a portion of the Main Street alley to the expansion project. Number 4, add the construction of a building with a minimum of 7,500 square feet of commercial space. And number 5, increase total TIF funding by $3,194,403. Item number 56 is a resolution declaring the intent of tax increment finance and district reinvestment zone number 11, downtown connection TIF district, to reimburse TIF hotel for a total incentive amount not to exceed $23,852,953 for TIF eligible project costs pursuant to the development agreement with TIF Hotel Inc. Again, these items do require 2 seconds.
Do you have that, Ms. Rue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so we've got a motion and 2 seconds. Any questions, discussions? Ms. Davis, thank you.
Can I have someone come up? Andrew, I just have one or two questions I want to ask about item number 55. If I can have someone to come up. I was hearing the inner city secretary, she mentioned an increase. What is the increase call?
It's a $3 million plus increase in the existing agreement because they have acquired some additional property and they're going to be doing some additional improvements, including more retail space. It pretty much completes the block from Jewel down to Nemus.
Okay, and I guess and Mr. Mayor, this is some of the things I guess we need to continue to talk about as we come be creative in the southern sector about doing projects that's similar to this. And I know, and Andrew, I'm going to support you on this. And let me say that. But somehow, Carl, we got to be creative as if this is of projects to help jumpstart things that's in the southern sector. And I don't know if we just pick out an area, or for example, Jefferson, Davis, Lancaster, Grand, Martin Luther King. But these are some creative ideals that center around TIF districts. And is this because there are development in those areas while the amounts are there, meaning the funding?
Well, one of the things that makes TIF funding effective is when you have a lot of tax increment being generated by successful projects. So in some of the other projects that you're talking about, why there are other tools as well as TIF districts, so, but you're correct, we have to be very creative and we have to look for different ways to get financing sources to make those projects work.
Is there other resource of dollars out there to help areas like those that I just mentioned? Is there other funding out there that can work similar to a TIF district?
Well, maybe not similar to a TIF district, but there are other funding sources. Mr. Carraway can tell you on and Ms. Hill on the Lancaster corridor where you're using different HUD programs or new market tax credits. And combine that with public-private partnership. You know about the HUD grant that we got for TOD areas for planning.
Well, I do understand that. Seems like in areas like ours, it's always HUD money. In areas on the other side, is general real money. And we got to get to a point where we're doing real money on our side besides just HUD money.
Well, HUD money is real money.
I know it's real money, but we always call it HUD dollars. And it seems like on the southern side, it's all HUD dollars, federal dollars. And somehow we got to do that and think of other money, other ways to blend HUD dollars with some other dollars to make projects work in our district.
I agree with you, Ms. Davis.
And so, but I know, and I said that, and it's, I don't know if we have the answer to it. I mean, been down here for a moment now, and we got to get some more projects. More projects. And we got to think outside the box when it comes to other funding. And every time when it comes to our neighborhood, it's always her dollars. And we just have to think different on getting some more money in our neighborhood. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make sure that my constituents know that these aren't general fund dollars that we're talking about allocating, that this additional $3 million is tax increment that is coming into this district.
That's correct, Ms.
Solely due to the private investment that's being made.
The private investment is the key driver to channeling these HUD funds and these TIF funds in conjunction with that private investment. It's usually at some multiple. In other words, you're getting $10, $15, $20 of private investment for every dollar of TIF increment.
And we're throwing a lot of acronyms around, but when we're talking about TIFs, we're talking about Tax Increment Financing Districts.
That's correct.
And that's when the city has created a specific geographic area where we have essentially frozen the property tax base and said any additional development that increases the taxes in this particular geographic area, we're going to take those taxes, reinvest it into the area.
That's accurate, Ms. Hunt, yes.
And so the challenge we have, I think, and I absolutely agree with Ms. Davis on this, the challenge we have in the southern sector is bringing those private developers, getting them involved in developing a TIF in the southern sector. We've got to have that initial development, or you're not going to spin off any of the tax increment and create funding to do these type of public infrastructure investments.
That's right. There's a need for a catalyst project that will generate the increment. That's correct.
And I will absolutely work with Ms. Davis any way I can to help us seek out those type of investors. And I hope that some of the folks who are in downtown will continue to look at the southern sector as a viable, growing economy where they can create, I think, real investment down there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Caraway?
And thank you, Mayor, and Ms. Hunt, and Ms. Davis, and Carl. Let me just say, you referenced the Lancaster Corridor, and this will go to you, to the mayor. The reason that developers decided to come is because rolled up sleeves and the unsanely motels that were there. I did not blame investors for not coming. You cannot invite them into where there's crack cocaine and prostitution and those things. I would further charge that we continue, and through the mayor and your initiative, that we will continue to clean these areas and keep the focus. That is one reason why I chose to push extremely hard for cameras, and because we in our community have work to do as well. And once it is cleared up and folks see that we have made a commitment to making a difference, then development will come. And until those two motels were knocked to the ground, development was stifled and it would not come. And I did not blame them for coming. So I only say to us in our community that we too have work to do. And if we go in and clean it up, the businesses will come. It will be no excuses for us not to have those tips and those things. But I just want to stress that we have work to do ourselves in our own community. And when we do that, it's a much easier opportunity for economic development and call and TIFs and investors to come in our area. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Any other questions, comments? We've got a motion, 2 seconds on the floor. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I agree with all of you as you've been talking about development in all parts of town. We'll be working on that in the coming months. I have decided, personally, everybody can do their own thing, to start calling this Southern Dallas versus Southern Sector. I think it's important that we have that, and the definition for me, Southern Dallas, is anything south of the Trinity or south of 30 on the east. and we'll be working on Southern Dallas in the coming months. Next item.
Item number 57 and 58 need to be considered collectively. Item number 57 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with Texas In-Town Homes, LLC, to provide funding for the design, engineering, professional services, and construction of public infrastructure improvements for the Farmers Market Square project located in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 6, Farmers Market TIF District, and number 2, the Farmers Market TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $3 million from Farmers Market TIF revenues in accordance with the development agreement. Item number 58 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 6 to reimburse Texas In-Town Homes, LLC in an amount not to exceed $3 million for certain improvements related to the development of the Farmers Market Square project in the Farmers Market TIF District. We do have one speaker signed up to speak on these two items, Robin McCaffrey. Mr. McCaffrey, you'll be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll step up to the podium. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. McCaffrey, I saw you out there doing this. Is it tough to hear?
Can you hear me?
You can. Can you hear us out there?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of reverb in this room.
Okay. Good,
my name is Robin McCaffrey with Mesa, 1807 Ross Avenue, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the Farmers Market Stakeholders Association, which is a group of at present 40 commercial property and business owners in the Farmers Market area, to this matter that's on the agenda. And I guess I want to cover, I've already sent out an email that sort of says what my big issues are, but I just want to kind of condense it down into five basic points. The first is process. Now, we have here before you a proposal to approve, to authorize through a resolution this expenditure of $3 million for the in-town home project. Attached to that is a site plan, a very specific site plan, which is really not part of the PD, but for reasons I don't fully understand, is part of the TIF agreement. In fact, the PD, which will come to you at a later date, which creates the standards that this site plan would then apply to. So at present, the site plan is not consistent with the standards of PD 357. You will be asked at a future date to amend the conditions so they didn't conform to the requirements of this site plan, or vice versa, however you wish to phrase it. Nonetheless, it seems to be an issue of order here, and what we are fearful of is that by approving this site plan, you, in essence, have approved the PD amendments, which we are not in favor of at this moment, and for a host of reasons that also contain that email. But there's a wholesale sort of revision of the standards for PDP 57 that the rest of the property owners, that districts 1 through 10, must abide by. And district 11 doesn't, and that causes it. If the standards don't work, the standards don't work, let's amend the entire PD. That'd be one of our objectives. If the TIF district, which is about to expire in 2013, takes on a $3 million obligation, so we extend it. Let's extend the TIF with a vision as to where we're going. You know, at the moment, we have five major changes happening in the Farmers Market area. We have 8 supportive housing projects. We have numerous Section 8 housing projects. We have fee simple residential development. We have privatization of the Farmers Market RFP on the streets, which has been one response because of the values that are now emerging in this area. It's just not becoming a happy area for commercial investment, which is of great concern to us. And we have expansion of homeless facilities, food kitchens, etc. All of this coming into a small area at the same time. We're saying, give us a chance to evaluate the impact of these things. But do we have a plan for this area? We don't have a parking plan. We don't have a street plan. We don't have a development plan. We don't have a commercial vision for the area that we understand how to evaluate what is happening. So that's the content. So that's the process issue. Again, the content of the site plan is very specific. It is basically a plan that is not in conformance with the PD at present. So at least we ask, give us a chance to speak to the zoning, give us a chance to meet with the property owner on his zoning application, which we have exchanged emails and are willing to do. We'll call a special meeting in order to do that. And then hear that issue first before we approve a site plan that would conform to that zoning. Anyway, so I guess I've already ran out of time, but you get the gist.
Thank you very much. Have you spoken to Ms. O'Donnell before? Ms. McCaffrey, have you spoken to Teresa O'Donnell on this issue? Have you spoken? Have you spoken to Teresa O'Donnell on this issue? Have you spoken to Teresa O'Donnell, this lady right here, on this issue?
Email and as late as yesterday, or Craig Melody okay. is in our panel.
I just want to make sure you guys get together. That's all. All right. Do we have a motion to approve on this item? A second and a second. Questions? Discussion? On this, Ms. Hunt?
I have a question.
Well, I have Ms. Hunt's first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, this will be a $30 million investment into the farmers market, and I just want to point out the type of analysis and involvement the city has had in this. We are very lucky and fortunate because of the generosity of Dee Dee and Rusty Rose that we have the design studio here in the city, and they are involved in helping us look at plans and helping us promote pedestrianism and ensuring that some of these proposals make the very best use of our public and private partnerships. And so, Teresa, it's my understanding that this particular project was reviewed by not only the city design studio, but also the folks who were most actively involved in the Downtown Dallas 360 plan.
That's correct, ma'am. And the applicants have been extremely cooperative and open to listening to all our concerns and incorporating, I would say, almost all of our concerns from the city design studio, the Downtown 360 plan. It is in compliance. It is in conformance with what the plan hopes to achieve, and they've been very good partners in helping us achieve what we wanted to.
And just one example, I think, that we changed was ensuring that we had some wraparound parking around the exterior of this project, so that if there are folks who, and it's public parking, so if there are folks who wanted to come to the farmers market, they would have the opportunity to park there on the street. Colleagues, I think one of the challenges as well is right now this lot is being used by a lot of residents, and I will raise my hand myself when I've been to the farmers market and there isn't enough parking. We'll park on this lot over here. So I think there's also some tension there, that there's concern that because of the new development on this private lot, that some of the, I won't say illegal because I don't want to admit to doing something illegal, but some of the borderline parking that folks have been doing is going to go away.
That's correct.
So what we tried to do with the design studio and with your group, Teresa, was make sure we retain some public parking along the borders of this. But this is a $30 million project, and I'm never one to support economic development just for the sake of economic development. We have to make sure it's right for the area. But here we have a terrific investment in a challenging economy. They're ready to go, and a very, very minimal TIF increment that we're supporting them with, of $3 million, to do the public part of this. So, Mr. Mayor, I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cadane?
Okay. Ms. O'Donnell, on the plan, on the Dallas plan, are they showing retail down there anywhere? Because we're vastly running out of room. And I'll tell you, we need retail down in this area big time. And with this plan, does it show where we're going to have retail coming in?
Well, for this particular zoning case, it will actually come to you in a couple more weeks. You don't have the zoning in front of you today. It does not have a mixed-use component. However, the plan for the general area does have retail. Now, one of the things that we stressed in Downtown 360, that the farmers market area would be our first true neighborhood, our opportunity to really incorporate a significant number of additional units downtown to build a true downtown neighborhood. And so these townhomes don't have mixed use, but there certainly is a lot of opportunity for retail in the surrounding area.
There will be.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Mr. Allen?
And I guess, Teresa, make sure I got it right. Bottom line is trying to create the density, get it closer to the farmers market area, and just build up that area there. Maybe the retail itself will fill some of the barns, and not so much the barns, but you know, there's that little retail spot, I don't know what you call it, that's enclosed, that's air conditioned, that's right out front, and try to get that even more vibrant with the density. Is that kind of what we're trying to establish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any other discussions, questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we read item number 59, I want to clarify for the record, there were some items that were pulled for individual consideration and considered earlier in the meeting. Item number 8 was pulled by Councilmember Allen and Grayson. Item number 20 were pulled by Councilmember Alonzo and Councilmember Coop. Item 31 had been corrected on the addendum to be allowed for consideration as an individual item, and item number 41 was pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Thank you. Item number 59 is authorized on-site reconstruction of 6 homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the properties located at 1510 Dalview Avenue, 4533 Sherbourne Street, 3403 Garden Lane, 4318 Penelope Street, 3114 Mondry Avenue, 4016 Opal Avenue. Total amount not to exceed $560,400. This item does require 2 seconds.
Good second. Do we have another second? Mr. Atkins? Any questions? Discussion? Hearing none. Seeing none. I ask all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I think that completes our...
It does, Mr. Mayor.
...our items for this morning. It is 10:49. City Council will stand in adjournment. We will meet here at 1 o'clock p.m. after lunch, where we'll take up the zoning issues. Thank you very much. Good morning. Good afternoon. We have our quorum. We'll begin the afternoon zoning issues and items. We will be considering items 60 through 80. We've got a few that have been pulled for individual consideration. Item number 60 by Mr. Cadane. Item number 64 by Ms. Hill. Item number 73 by Mr. Caraway. Item number 75 by Mr. Caraway. Item number 79 by Ms. Hill. And item number 80 by Ms. Davis. Madam Secretary, do you want to read the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 61 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned in MU-3 mixed-use district on the southeast line of Greenville Avenue north of Forest Lane. Item number 62 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1696 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Plan Development District number 269, the Deep Elm Near East Side Special Purpose District on the south side of Elm Street east of Curtis Street. Item number 63 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1767 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property within the Tract A portion of Plan Development District number 269, the Deep Elm Near East Side Special Purpose District on the north line of Commerce Street east of Good Latimer Expressway. Item number 65 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the northwest corner of Chula Vista Drive and Blossom Lane. Item number 66 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 975 for a private school on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the south corner of Lover's Lane and Fisher Road. Item number 67 is a public hearing regarding an application to and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1345 on property zoned in MF-2A multifamily district on the northeast and northwest corners of Lee Ann's Drive and West Wheatland Road. Item number 68 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1717 for a vehicle display sales and service use on property within the Subdistrict 1 Track 2 portion of Plan Development District number 535, the CA Pond Special District, Special Purpose District number 3 on the northwest corner of CA Pond Freeway and Haymarket Street. Item number 69 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of 3,500 square feet or greater on property zoned CR Community Retail District with a D liquor control overlay located at the northwest corner of Centralville Road and Alito Drive. Item number 70 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property within Plan Development District number 366 with a D liquor control overlay on the west side of South Buckner Road, Loop 12, south of West Hodges Road. Item number 71 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned CR Community Retail District with a D liquor control overlay located at the northeast corner of West Illinois Avenue and Toluca Avenue. Item number 72 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned RR Regional Retail District with a D liquor control overlay located at the northeast corner of Royal Lane and I-35 North Simmons Freeway. Item number 74 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD-D-1 Community Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the south line of Bruton Road between Lewiston Avenue and North Masters Drive. Item number 76 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CR-D Community Retail District with a D liquor control overlay on the northwest corner of West Northwest Highway and Midway Road. Item number 77 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CR-D Community Retail District with a D liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of Lake June Road and Holcomb Road. Item number 78 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned Plan Development District number 805 with a D liquor control overlay on the north side of Lake June Road, east side of Masters Drive. That concludes your consent items that are up for consideration. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. I will entertain a motion to Scoop, second. Any discussion, questions on the consent items that were just read?
Yes.
Hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Kidane.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I was just wanted to find out from Rosa if on these items that are on consent, if your CPC and your staff recommendations differ, you always take CPC's recommendation.
Yes, unless the city council states otherwise.
Okay, but we would have to do that prior to.
It's when the motion is made, you can make an amendment to, you could make a motion, make an amendment to approve items, et cetera, with the exception that you would want to follow staff recommendation.
Okay.
Or an option is to pull the item for individual consideration.
But the way it's read, the way you read it, it's all in CPC's recommendation.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Let's go to the individual items.
Thank you. We go now to item number 60, which was pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Cadane. Item 60 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an LO-1 limited office district on property zoned an MF-2A multifamily district on property on the south line of Wood Meadow Parkway, east of Ferguson Road, and an ordinance granting an NOA neighborhood office district. The CPC does recommend approval.
Thank you, Mayor. We sent 22 notices to property owners who went through in favor of their request. Received 2 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Again, using Robert's Rule of Orders, I'll take any motions on the floor at this point on this item. Motion to approve, Mr. Cadane, a second?
No.
Mr. Hill?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain motions first, and then we'll talk.
Oh, okay. I want to defer this item.
Okay, a motion to defer.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Cadane.
Okay, I move to hold this item under advisement until September 28th. 2011.
I'm sorry, Ms. Coop, second. Thank you, Mr. Cain. That's what I meant.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Any other discussion, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion defers, carried. Next item.
Item number 64 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for mixed uses on property zoned a CR community retail district and an R-7.5A single family district on the northwest corner of South Lancaster Road and Atlas Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 100 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 12 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
I'll entertain any motions.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Vedrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following change. Stair penthouses, wind generating and solar equipment, and the structures listed in Section 51A-4.4008. A2 may project a maximum of 12 feet above the maximum structure height.
Second. Ms. Hunt, any questions, discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Your next item is number 73, a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CR-D-1 community retail district with a D1 liquor control overlay on the west line of North June Miller Road, north of Lake June Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain any motions, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission's recommendation for approval for the SUP for this location for a 2-year period with no automatic renewal.
We have a second. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 75 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CR-D community retail district with a D liquor control overlay generally southwest of the intersection of South Buckner Boulevard and Sion Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area request. Received one reply in favor and two replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Dallas Cosner, 900 Jackson Street for Fiesta Supermarket. You may recall this site about a dozen years ago was undeveloped when Fiesta came in. It's about a 60,000 square foot store and anchors a good retail center at Buckner and Syene. And we're asking for the opportunity to have wine and beer sales and would like an opportunity to have automatic renewal. Happy to answer any questions you have. And I will point out they're the only Pleasant Grove large national chain grocer that remained open when other people didn't. They came into the area, made a significant investment, and want to have an opportunity to compete on an equal footing with other grocers in the area that can already sell beer and wine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I entertain any motions, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And with a short statement, let me say that my plan commissioner, Michael Davis, does a fantastic job. And I want to commend him and the planning commission for moving this forward. As it relates to being the grocery store and one of the key grocery stores that we have in the Buckner, Pleasant Grove, Southern Dallas area, let me say that I want to make sure that they have an opportunity to compete with grocery stores over and around the city of Dallas. In order to do so, Mayor, I'm going to move to close the public hearing and make a few minor adjustments as related to the years of this SUP. I would ask the council to please support me with the changing of it. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and approve an ordinance granting a D1 overlay, liquor control overlay, and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages for a period of 5 years with an eligibility of automatic renewals for an additional 5-year period subject to site plans and conditions.
Mr. Atkins seconded. Questions? Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your next item is number 79, a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned in RR-D Regional Retail District with a D liquor control overlay on the east line of Southampton Road, northwest of Marvin D. Love Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area request. We received one reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas. I am the vice president of the Twin Oaks Neighborhood Association, some 700 homeowners that are somewhat contiguous to this property who are in vigorous opposition to this. And as we testified at the commission, at the planning commission, that the reason why the planning commission went forward with a recommendation was that it was only fair to do so, given that a previous applicant had been given a liquor license at Valero's, which was nearby. Our protest also adds that of Elder Oaks, which is another neighborhood association not attending today, but did make their opposition at the budgetary meeting at the Thurman Recreation Center on Monday to Councilperson Hill and others there in attendance. So we now have, rising from our 700, we have literally 1,000 homeowners who have made their investment based upon there being no liquor in that area. And this is now one applicant who wants to make a profit, and this is 1,000 people who now have some difficulty, great difficulty with this, and potentially to have problems. Not only that, I'm going to add that we will, Honorable Mayor, that at Camp Wisdom in Hampton, where you had the largest sign there, this is the area we're talking about. We're talking about an area that is in competition with DeSoto, and therefore we're talking about to give an alternative to people to not move to DeSoto but stay in Dallas. This is one of those neighborhoods that gives that the competition. This particular applicant does not give, well, changes, if we will, the culture, the climate, and the character of a change in that neighborhood, and therefore we're vigorously against that. The decreases in, it will cause a decrease in our property value and therefore a decrease in tax revenues to the city. There's also a Presbyterian church there that is on the corner of Reynolds Center nearby. And consequently, we're asking that, and if I were to say that we had other, in any of your councils in your area, that if there were a 1,000 homeowners that are saying they don't want it and only one applicant wants it, I have to say that the math is easy to understand. So we're I'm standing here today asking that the council, in consideration of this, vote overwhelmingly against
it. Are there any other individuals in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Mr. Mayor, Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202. In speaking with Councilwoman Hill regarding this case, since she is not available this afternoon, we are in agreement in holding this case for 2 weeks to work out any of the issues we may have with the neighborhood, and stand for any questions you may have. But we prefer to hold it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain any motions. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, Ms. Hill is representing us at the transportation conference being held in Irving, and she asked me to hold the public hearing open for 2 weeks, and that would put it to August the 24th.
Motion is deferred. We have a second. Any other discussion, questions? Hearing none, all in favor of the deferment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 80 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned in RR Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the east line of North Wexner Boulevard, north of Chenault Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 11 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received no replies in favor, and 3 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you so much. Mayor, members of the City Council, my name is Karen Mitchell. I am here on behalf of the owner of the property, Racetrack Petroleum, out of Atlanta, Georgia. We do have two members here in case you all have any questions. I just wanted to very briefly let you all know that on February 26th, we did meet with the neighborhood and address a lot of the questions and concerns that they had. It is my understanding that the city did receive letters of support from this neighborhood group. Additionally, we received recommendation of approval from city staff and a unanimous recommendation of approval by the CPC. That being said, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you all may have. If not, maybe members of our team from Racetrack can come down and answer any questions.
Are there any... I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Medrano? Or you hadn't turned off your... Ms. Coop?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Davis had to leave, but she asked me if I would present this motion to hold the item under advisement until September the 14th.
We have a second. Mr. Atkins, second. Any questions, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion for deferment is carried.
Thank you. We move now to your individual items. Item number 81 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for retirement housing and MF-2A multifamily district uses on property zoned in MF-2A multifamily district on the west corner of Washington Avenue and Munger Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 68 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request, received 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this is Michael Coker, representing the Dallas Housing Authority in this process. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have, given the fact that the Plan Commission's recommendation is a little bit different than I think the council's consideration for today.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Good afternoon. My name is Dwight Moon. I live at 1000 Grigsby in Dallas, Texas. I support housing for poor, repossessed, stricken people in this city, and I do support housing over there. But there's going to be an awful lot of housing in that little complex right there. How many houses is going in there, and how much space is there?
Could somebody fix your microphone? So, thank you. There we go.
It's new, huh? We got new stuff. Anyway, it's children in there, and retirement, old people with children, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know how you're going to have all these houses right here on this little bitty corner, and there isn't any space there anyway. There isn't any space. The only space they have in there is behind the rec center. And they should have some space in there for people to move around in. I support housing for poverty stricken people anywhere in this city. Thank you. But I don't support them having to go in the house at 10 o'clock. And I don't support them not being able to sit on the front porch. And you already know that.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt, move to approve. Mr. Griggs, second. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 82 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned planned development district number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on the northwest corner of Greenville Avenue and Bell Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 6 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like, I'm sorry, we do have two individuals scheduled to speak on item number 82, 83, and 84. For item number 82, the council rules of procedure do require that individuals that, I'm sorry, I stand corrected, these are public hearings. We do have an individual signed up to speak, Bruce Richardson. Next speaker, Mike Northrup. Mr. Northrup, please step up to the podium. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good
name is Mike Northrup. My address is 5703 Goliad Avenue. I'm speaking on behalf of a coalition of neighborhoods adjacent to this site, the Lower Greenville Neighborhood Association, the Belmont Neighborhood Association, the Lois Greenville West, Vickery Place Neighborhood Association, and Hudson Heights. We stand before you today largely in favor of this particular applicant. The applicant has been a good applicant for this neighborhood and is the poster child of what we would like to see on Lower Greenville. There are two issues that we have with respect to the CPC and staff recommendations that I do want to mention. The first has to do with the length of the SUP. Our understanding was that the staff looked at a number of factors in determining whether how long to recommend the length that the CPC granted was 4 years. Our understanding and belief at that time was that the operator had an existing lease with the owner of the property. We subsequently learned that that is not the case. My understanding is, as of last night, that there were still discussions over a lease agreement. That also, I guess, touches upon the second issue that we have with respect to this particular, the conditions on this particular property. As you know, to get an SUP, you have to show that you can get, that you can satisfy all of the Dallas Development Code. And the concern I have here is with respect to parking. We have looked at the parking agreements that have been provided by the applicant, and this is really not an applicant issue. This is an issue with the owner of the property, because the property goes, or the SUP goes to the property and not with the particular applicant in this case, which is the operator. But at CPC, we learned that the owner had hijacked the operator's parking for this particular site and had contracted with a third party to provide valet services for the parking that was supposed to be set aside for this. The owner agreed at CPC that they would stop that. As of today, that illegal use has continued and those violations have been filed and notified with the city attorney's office, and we don't know where that stands. But more importantly, the parking agreements that have been provided operate in favor of the owner, not the operator here. And while we like this operator, the issue is whether the owner has taken away the operator's spaces and whether the operator can satisfy or the owner satisfy the parking requirements here. So we would ask that this council not pass or grant this application until satisfactory evidence has been provided in the form of written agreements or whatnot showing that this operator has the parking available for this space. Otherwise, we do like this operator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Simon McDonald. I'm 315 North Winneka Avenue in Dallas, Texas. I'm the owner of the Libertine. It's a pretty awesome place. We've been in business for about 5 years. And what we'd like to do is just continue doing business as we have been. In regards to the lease, we did come to an agreement with our landlords yesterday, late. So there is a lease in place. I'll be here if you have any questions.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation? Sir, please step up to the podium.
My name is Larry Vineyard, 2622 Commerce, Dallas, Texas, representing the landlord. Wanted to clarify that we do in fact have an agreement with the tenant. It's, we are finalizing the actual formation of the lease, and we're here to answer any questions regarding the parking that the council has, because we are the parking for that place is for that location is free and was and has been free. There is a valet who monitors and manages the parking, but it's free on a validation basis because it is shared with other parking that is not code parking for that space. So I welcome any questions the council has, and that those are the facts on the ground.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Hi, my name is Scott Davison. I've been a teacher for 38 years at the Arts Magnet Booker T. Washington. I currently I bought my house at 5719 Belmont Avenue near the corner of Belmont and Greenville in 1978. I own my home and the adjacent lot as well. Of course, I've seen a lot of changes throughout the years in the neighborhood, and I could go into a lot of the history, but I won't. My property is zoned R75 single family. I'm directly across from an alley, dumpster, and business property. There's no buffer zone. I am the buffer zone, basically. Also the trash collector. Thank goodness we can count on the Libertine. Libertine is simply the best neighbor we could ask for. If every business in the area were run like the Libertine, residents, I think, would be ecstatic. I certainly am. We have to coexist, and the Libertine does what most of the businesses, bar, restaurants on Lower Greenville, haven't done consistently. Coexisted with integrity, class, and genuine cooperation. They haven't moved into the neighborhood to make a quick buck and then bail or fizzle out in decline at the expense of neighborhood homeowners, the way many of these bars and clubs have done. A lot of the others pay lip service to the their intent to respect property owners, homeowners, but that's not usually the case. I can literally see the Libertine across from the now empty parking lot in front of the old Whole Foods Blue Bonnet Safeway store from my upstairs bedroom. I can also say that in the years the Libertine has been in that location, I've never had to make a complaint. That's not true for other establishments whose patrons have trashed my yard, waking my children and myself at 3 a.m. with drunken glass smashing parties in the parking lot across the street. Unlike many of these other places in Lower Greenville, the Libertine is a real restaurant. I eat there regularly, and their kitchen is also open late, which is a help to me after late night rehearsals, being at school for a long time. I've never seen a fight inside or outside, which is remarkable given the more recent history of the area. I don't have to put up with loud motorcycles blaring or music from an often empty rooftop, as in many of the other businesses. My taxes have multiplied about 30 times since what they were back in 1978, but quality of life hasn't really improved that much. I really depend upon the Libertine, and they have been very respectful of the owners. I wholeheartedly support the Libertine and its requests. And if the city doesn't issue the best possible license to this establishment, then no business on Lower Greenville deserves one. And I've been around to see it all go down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions, Mr. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to entertain a motion to approve. However, I do have a question, so do you want me to do this?
Well, no, let's make a motion first.
Yes. I would like to make a to close the public hearing and approve item number 72.
Wait a second. All right. That's questions?
Yes. Just wanted to make it clear with the person representing the owner. I have a question for you. If you'll come up, please. So we had the lease cleared up now. Say I'm a patron. I'm going to have dinner at the Libertine. I go to the valet. I park my car. Am I going to get charged for valet for being a patron or a dining at the Libertine? What will happen?
The valet is handling it this way, Madam Councilwoman. The repeat customers, well-known customers, are simply told to park here or their car is taken and they're given a valet slip and they're allowed to go in for free. Unknown new customers who are going to Libertine are asked to pay for the parking and are given a validation slip and told that they'll get it simply stamped by the Libertine people, their money will be refunded. And so the valet people have advised us that they have very little trouble discerning new customers from repeat customers. So I would imagine, you know, if you were a repeat customer, you would not be asked to do anything. If you were a new customer, you'd be asked to validate until you had become a repeat customer.
So there, you have a system in place.
We have a system in place, and we've made sure that the valet company understands, because there is a fairly large parking lot outside that, much more than the code parking for Libertine itself. And we've made sure that they understand that there is to be no charging for Libertine's customers, basically. So.
All right. I just in case I get an email or a phone call that, you know, that they went to dinner and, you know, they were charged and they weren't reimbursed, I might want your email and telephone number.
I believe you have my email, and you're more than welcome to follow up. Maybe we'll be sure it's corrected. But like I said, my understanding is that the validation system is there because there's a whole lot more spaces than the 22 spaces that are attributable to Libertine. So.
Thank you very much. Mr. McDonald, thank you for coming up today. Had countless phone calls on your behalf, and you know, the neighborhood really enjoys your restaurant and just rave reviews on what good customer service and especially what good neighbor you are. So therefore, I'd like to, and I just repeat the motion, would like to close the public hearing and approve item number 72.
Second.
Ms. Hunt? Yeah, we already had the motion in the second. Ms. Hunt, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I would just like to say, colleagues, this is our first SUP request coming under the new Lower Greenville PD that Pauline and I worked so hard on with neighborhood and with the property owners and the business owners. And it's very exciting to me that this is the Libertine, because we held you guys up as the example of the type of neighborhood tavern that we wanted to see more of, and that was the type of quality business that worked to ensure they were a benefit to the neighborhood, and that you added value to the neighborhood and worked well with the neighbors. So I'm pleased to support this and glad to see you sticking around. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Any other comments, questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 83, a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Planned Development District number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on the east side of Greenville Avenue, south of Orange Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 51 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 6 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please step up to the podium. We do have the first speaker is Mike Northrup.
Mike Northrup, address 5703 Goliad Avenue. Again, speaking on behalf of a coalition of neighborhoods, including Lower Greenville Neighborhood Association, Belmont Neighborhood Association, Lowest Greenville West, Vickery Place Neighborhood Association, and Hudson Heights Neighborhood Association. Again, this is another operator that has been good to the neighborhood, and in this case, the applicant is both the operator and largely the owner of the property, so there's not any tension between owner and operator as to this SUP. Largely, we support this particular applicant. There is one matter that the neighborhoods want to bring to the council's attention, and it affects not only this particular applicant, but all the forthcoming ones that you will be seeing in the coming weeks. Lower Greenville neighborhood area, this area has had parking issues for many, many years. Part of the problem is because of what is known as Delta parking credits, which are essentially grandfathered parking. meaning that some of these particular properties have to provide zero parking spaces for their particular uses. That's a concern to the neighborhood associations. In 1986, there was a parking commission study done by the city council, and it found over 1,500 parking spaces that were a deficit in this area. Recommendations were made for remedying that deficit of parking spaces, one of which resulted in adoption of a Delta overlay district here, which provides for the expiration of these Delta parking credits when additions are made and whatnot. That has helped some, but we still have a number of properties that have Delta parking credits that contribute to this problem on Lower Greenville. The other part of this 1986 study on page Roman numeral 3II of the report, it recommended that this council use the SUP process as a means of remedying the Delta credit problem. So the neighborhoods come before you and say, we can sustain the number of Delta credits that this particular operator has. This operator has to provide no parking spaces. But what about the next one, and the one after that, and the one after that? And eventually we're back to where we were. Having an SUP, a late night SUP, is not a right, it's a privilege. And so the neighborhood suggests that this council give due consideration to using this SUP process at this time. This is the best time for that, to help us to remedy a situation that we've lived with for over 30 years. You can certainly provide conditions in connection with an SUP, and that was what the neighborhoods would propose. Otherwise, the neighborhoods support this particular application for an SUP.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Kerry Ray, 5911 Marquita Avenue, Dallas, 75206. I'm here on behalf of my partners, Jack Chaplin and Neil Connell, owners of the property, 1914, and also members of Rob R. LLC, the owners of the business, the Crown and Harp. I'm just here to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? We did have one speaker, Bruce Richardson, who is not present. No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Not speaking.
Okay.
I'll entertain motion on this issue. Ms. Thomas?
Mr. Mayor, I move to close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation subject to a revised site plan showing the patio with a condition prohibiting outside speakers as part of the late hours use.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Cadane, any other discussion, debate, questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 84 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned planned development district number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on the east side of Greenville Avenue north of Orange Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request, received 10 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
We do have two individuals signed up to speak. The first speaker is Bruce Richardson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Council. Congratulations, all of you who are here for first or second time. I'm here for about the 90th time, so good luck to all of you. I'm here with the same group of neighborhood associations that Mr. Northrup mentioned. I won't belabor their names again. It's on the record. I'm also here to tell you that we do support this operator, and I'm here actually to report the ways in which this operator has distinguished himself, and the property owner as well has distinguished themselves, and that would be Andrus Properties. Mr. Northrup mentioned Delta credits, and that has been a huge concern of this neighborhood that we have. It's a little inaccurate to call it a parking deficit. The parking spaces do, in fact, exist, but the distinction is with a Delta credit, even if one has the parking spaces, they don't come off the map, so to speak. So if you can follow me here for just a few seconds I have left to stay on it, what that means, one assumes that a community retail district creates a balance of uses because, say, a restaurant or a pub is parked 1 to 100, where a retail establishment may be parked 1 to 200, 1 to 300, whatever the particular numbers are. It's not as critical, except to point out that restaurants and pubs do need more parking. So if we have Delta credits, and if in those spaces that have Delta credits, we have restaurant bar, restaurant bar, restaurant bar, you can see how this quickly exhausts the parking supply in the entire district and lends itself to the imbalance, the suffocation, for lack of a better word, of less impactful uses. Now, the reason it has something to do with this case is that something rather extraordinary happened with this applicant and with this property owner. They decided it was in the best interest of the neighborhood and of their business to voluntarily say, you know what, we're not going to fight over Delta credits. We're going to park all of our uses to code, all of them, district-wide. And I confirmed that with the property owner just a couple of mornings ago on the telephone. That is a consideration to the compatibility of a use in this district. It can't help but be a consideration to the compatibility of a use in this district, because I would like to buy shoes or clothing or anything but a martini or dinner somewhere in my district. So I'm going to wrap it back up, having sort of given you a little background. We have a lot of cases to come. Hopefully that gives you something to think about. This applicant has been exemplary. They have also agreed to no outside speakers, which we think is marvelous. And I hope that you will approve this application and that it will give you something to think about in the future applications. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Your next speaker on this item is Mike Northrup.
Mike Northrup, 5703 Goliad Avenue. I just want to underscore what Mr. Richardson said about this particular applicant and their agreement to no outside speakers. That's how it differs from the CTC recommendation. And so we would ask that when this council makes the motion to approve this applicant, that they modify the CTC recommendation to provide for no outside speakers. Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Dallas Cosm, 900 Jackson Street. I think you'll see that we've worked hard on this with the neighborhood. The Andrus brothers, we park to code, not with Delta credits. We just really just have the spaces. We've allocated them. It's just simple, like any other retail, bar, restaurant, whatever it is. So we park to code. We've agreed to no outside speakers. This is a long-time operator on Greenville Avenue, back when I was younger and had less weight and more hair. So they continue to do a good job, and we really do want to be compatible with the neighborhood, and I've worked diligently to make that happen, so happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
What's the name of the establishment?
Zubar.
Zubar. Okay.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation, and then I have a comment.
Okay, second. Ms. Hunt.
I just wanted to make note that the motion that was made at the CPC hearing, and I'm going to read this. This is on page, I believe it's 1075 of the agenda, notes that this is subject to a site plan and revised conditions to include a provision prohibiting any outside speakers on this property. So that's in there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We move now to some additional public hearings, which will be item number 85, 86, 87 was deleted on the addendum, 88, and 89. These are public hearings. When the council members are making a motion, it will require 2 seconds. And there's a statement the mayor will need to read into the record as if they are public subject matters.
Again, this is the items where we need 2 seconds. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. As I said this morning, I take this very seriously. Thank you for your consideration, council.
Item number 85 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for mixed uses and an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 1198 for a community service center on property zoned in MF1A multifamily subdistrict within planned development district number 595, the South Dallas Fred Park Special Purpose District, on the west side of Bear Street, south of Municipal Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 122 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 10 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? State your name and address for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Michael Coker, representing the Dallas Housing Authority, applicant in this case. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll entertain motions. Mr. Carraway?
I'd like to close the public hearing, and move approval of this item.
Do a second? Mr. Atkins, any discussion?
I need
I'm sorry, we need a second.
Oh, she got it.
Okay, she got it.
Well, what's up? Did you say?
Mr. Atkins, Mr. Cadet.
Second.
Got it. Any discussion, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 86 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an MU-3 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast side of Maple Avenue, southwest of Inwood Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. Melissa Adamy. I'm representing the developer, Odyssey Residential Holdings, 5420 LBJ Freeway, Dallas, Texas. Just a quick overview for those of you who are unfamiliar with the project. It's a 252-unit mixed-income transit-oriented green development at Maple and Inwood Road. It has a great location. The location is immediately adjacent to the Maple Inwood DART station, which is on the new Green Line. It just opened last year. It's less than a mile from the Medical District, which is one of the largest employment bases in Dallas. It's also less than a mile from groceries, pharmacies, schools. There's an elementary school right across the street. And it's very close to downtown. This TOD, Green TOD, is directly in line with the city's objective of TODs in the area close to downtown, north of the Trinity River, close to all the jobs and schools and everything else. I'll be here for any questions that you may have. Thanks for your time.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Pedrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to hold this item under advisement until August the 24th, 2011, with a public hearing open, and instruct staff to correct the newspaper notice and council agenda wording.
Ms. Cadain, second. That's all we need to, if we can just defer, right? Any other questions, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried for deferment.
Item number 88 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for multifamily uses and a resolution terminating deed restrictions on property zoned in the MC-2 multiple commercial district on the west side of Noel Road, north of Spring Valley Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 103 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Coop.
I move to approve item number 88.
We have our first and the two seconds. Any questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 89 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an MU-3 mixed-use district on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the east side of Maple Avenue between Inwood Road and Butler Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Melissa Adamy again with Odyssey Residential Holdings. This is to pair with number item 86 as well, but unlike number 86, this one I think is ready to move forward today. So if you have any additional questions, this is just the other lot that would house the 252 units.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Pedrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to close the public hearing and approve item 89.
Second. Ms. Hunt, Mr. Atkins. Any other questions, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 90 is a benefit assessment on street paving, storm drainage, water and wastewater main improvements for street group 06-455, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with SYB Construction Company, Inc., lowest responsible bidder of 7. Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the item that was read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor of the item that was just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion on item number 90. Somebody get Mr. Carraway, Mr. Hill, Mr. Davis. Okay. We don't need 2 seconds on this, right?
No.
Okay. So we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 91 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of number 1, Bishop Avenue from Colorado Boulevard to Neely Street with a 4-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a special 3-lane undivided with bicycle lane within 100 feet of right-of-way and 60 feet of pavement. and number two, Bishop Avenue from Neely Street to Davis Street from a four-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a four-lane divided within 100 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Hostel.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the recommendations of staff, CPC, Transportation Committee, and City Plan Commission to approve agenda item number 91.
Second. Who's down here? Mr. Griggs. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 92 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Danieldale Road from Hampton Road to Polk Street from a six-lane divided roadway within 107 feet of right-of-way to a four-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Mr. Atkins?
Yes. I move to close the public hearing and follow the recommendation of staff, the CPC Transportation Committee, the City Planning Commission to approve agenda item 92, an amendment to the thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Danieldale Road from Hampton Road to Polk Street from six-lane dividing road S-6-D within 107 feet of right-of-way to a four-lane undivided road S-4-2 within 60 feet of right-of-way.
Second. We have a motion and second. All in favor say aye. Oh, excuse me. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Item number 93 is a public hearing on an application for and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from the Shelton School required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a proposed general merchandise or food store of greater than 50,000 square feet on property on the northwest corner of Arapahoe Road and Hillcrest Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the item?
Yes.
Are there any speakers in favor of the item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Madam Mayor, Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 5202. Here to answer any questions you may have with this request. I just would like to point out that I'd like to thank your staff in helping us with your new audio-video equipment setups, and that if you've got any questions, you've got a slide if it will help. So thank you, Benny, and your staff. Appreciate the help.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Yes, I'd like to move to close the public hearing and grant the variance. I hear none. All those in favor? All those opposed? Approved. Madam Secretary, we will have to reconsider an item.
Yes. Yes, ma'am, you do. Item number 81 has been asked, we have been asked to reconsider that item. Therefore, I need a motion to reconsider the item in a second. I will then...
Ms. Hunt has moved to reconsider, second by Mr. Atkins. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Move to meet...
Okay, item number 81 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for retirement housing and MF-2A multifamily district uses on property zoned in MF-2A multifamily district on the west corner of Washington Avenue and Bunger Avenue. Again, are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the city plan recommendation for approval with the following change. For retirement housing, providing a minimum front yard setback of 10 feet on Washington Avenue.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have also been asked to reconsider the consent agenda.
We've got two items we need to clean up right here.
I understand. Just item 14 was the only one that was identified.
And then one said 81.
We just did that.
Well, I was out of, excuse me.
Okay. So I will need a motion to reconsider the consent.
Can I make the motion?
The motion needs to be clarified that it is to reconsider the consent and then remove number 14.
Mr. Dane made the motion.
Thank you.
And Mr. Atkins seconded.
I will now need a motion to reapprove the consent without item number 14.
We need to vote on that motion to reconsider.
Yes.
I'm sorry, we need to vote on that. You need discussion on the reconsideration? Mr. Carraway?
I just wanted to reflect a no vote from me on item 14.
Yep. Okay. We're not there yet, but okay. All in favor say aye for the reconsideration. Any opposed? Okay, now let's go.
Now,
item 14.
I'll need a motion. Now we'll need to go ahead and make a motion to approve the consent without item number 14, and I'll need a second to vote.
So moved.
Good. Motion. Second, any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 14 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the professional services contract with Weaver and Tidwell LLP for additional consulting services in connection with the review of records in the lawsuit filed Marcus Wood et al. Versus Deborah Watkins, City Secretary, City of Dallas. Cause number 10-14835-N.
And do we have a motion to approve?
How do we do this?
Someone needs to approve this item. Someone needs to make a motion to approve. Do we have a second? We have a second. Say all in favor. Any discussion? Mr. Carraway?
I will be voting against this item.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Carraway.
Okay. Motion is carried.
Thank you. That concludes your agenda items. We now continue with your afternoon speaker. First speaker will be Paul Tomaso, followed by Diane Birdwell. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules for propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Paul Tomaso.
Good afternoon, Mayor Rollins, City Council. My name is Paul Tomaso. My family and I live at 4422 North Crest Road. I was born in Dallas and lived here almost 50 years. My employment over the past 21 years has been with Living Earth, a Dallas-based company that is in the green waste composting and recycling business. Living Earth produces mulch, compost, and soil products from green waste for the nursery and landscape industry. I want to take the opportunity today to inform you, as the decision makers of the city, of the status of green waste recycling as it exists today in Dallas. Green waste is a combination of brush, trees, leaves, grass, and other materials that can be recycled into mulch and compost products. An estimated 70% of the green waste now generated by the citizens of Dallas is currently being collected and recycled by local private businesses like Living Earth Technology and Soil Building Systems, to name a few, where they're turned into beneficial mulch and compost products. Most residents want green waste removed from their properties immediately when the work is finished and are not willing to wait for once a week service or much less once a month collection by the city. Since the City of Dallas does not offer weekly curbside collection of green waste, some residents tend to believe that there's simply no green waste recycling being accomplished or available in the City of Dallas. This belief is incorrect, as the private sector has been recycling the majority of green waste generated in Dallas for over 20 years. The current method for transportation and disposal of green waste relieves the city of a huge burden and cost the city has absolutely none of. We hope that you understand that the sky is not falling as you undertake a large-scale solid waste management plan and consider its source-separated organics options. The private sector has a majority of it covered already, and we don't necessarily want the city engaged in what is now private business. Almost any time a municipality gets into competition with the private sector, both sides lose out. Municipal green waste programs are incredibly expensive when all the costs are truly accounted for. As a citizen of Dallas, I do not want my city competing against private industry. As a taxpayer, I always lose when that happens. It is touted as environmentally responsible, a green thing to do, but the true costs incurred are hidden away under the feel-good aspect of this initiative. I hope that during the upcoming consideration of the city staff proposed flow control ordinance and the long-range solid waste plan, that the private sector, which successfully recycles the majority of the green waste in Dallas, is truly considered. The private sector already accomplishes great things in the waste industry, green recycling arena. Thank you for your generous service to our city. I've included the handout, which is available for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Diane Birdwell. I live at 5705 Meadowick Lane, Dallas 75227. I'm a teacher. I don't have handouts, but I do have homework for you. As the mayor mentioned this morning, the ISD's 157,000 kids will be coming back to school on August 22nd. But with respect, Mayor, I'm asking to amend your suggestion that they visit the principals on the first day. That is chaos. Don't go there on the first day and talk to the principal. We need them out front. But I would ask that you find the six worst low-performing DISD schools in your district, and all of your districts have some low-performing schools in them. And I ask that instead of spending time with the principal in her or his office, why don't you go next Thursday and next Friday and walk down the hallways and visit with the teachers? We're the ones that know what's going on with the students, and on the 18th and 19th, we'll be in our rooms working for free practically with our own money spending to build supplies in different classrooms. These are the teacher work days, and we would love to have you come visit with us. We are the teachers. We are the subject matter experts, and it's time to include classroom teachers in Dallas in all conversations about education in Dallas. For too long, we have had an oligarchy from the north part of the city with 5 to 10 families and 2 or 3 businesses and 2 or 3 civic organizations calling the shots, picking the superintendents, and picking the programs that I have to teach and enforce. It is time that y'all realize we are the ones that have the knowledge. We know our kids best, and that we, the teachers, need your help. I'm asking that you don't come just on day one, but that you visit a school every week for 15 or 20 minutes. Be there in the mornings when the kids are dropped off. Come after the school has started for the day to see how many kids come in late. Talk to the parents and ask them why. Get the feel of the school. There are 68 languages spoken in the homes of our immigrant students, not just Spanish. We need people from all ethnic and racial backgrounds and immigrant backgrounds as translators. We need your help in identifying of these different languages to get people involved in the community. It's not just Spanish that's being spoken in DISD homes. But for those thousands who do speak Spanish, we need those of you who do speak Spanish to push hard in the next week on radio and TV, Azteca, Telemundo, Univision, and tell them, Piolín, talk to him, and ask them that school starts on the 22nd, not the 23rd, not the 25th, not the 28th. We need those kids there on the first day of school. We lose thousands of dollars as thousands of students don't show up on the first day of school every year. And we also need you to go look at Skyline High School. It is the first magnet high school. I'm a graduate of that school, and that is a school where all of you have constituents with kids in that school, and that school gets neglected. Everyone pays attention to Townview and Booker T. Skyline started that show, and Skyline needs help. Their mock trial team needs sponsorship right now, and they're state winners. Here's your homework: The Death and Life of the Great American School System by Diane Ravitch, and what we all had to read in DISD, Teaching with Poverty in Mind. Teachers cannot do it alone. Testing, testing, testing does not graduate a child. A community graduates a child with a teacher's help. Thank you very much, and give us a prayer.
Thank you very much for your coaching and your passion, and we'll do that. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ruben French. Ruben French, not present. Walter Ender, not present. Walter Ender.
Honorable Mayor and council members, I see a lot of familiar faces out there, and I came before you because I think I have a terrific idea for you. My name is Walter Ender. I live at 5341 Mercedes Avenue, and I have y'all heard of brownouts, blackouts, and transformers blowing up in alleys? Well, Albuquerque had the same problem. They had brownouts, blackouts, and transformers blowing up in alleys, and they realized they couldn't build infrastructure to meet the electrical demands of the citizens of Albuquerque. But they did a clever thing. They said, we are offering the citizens of Albuquerque solar energy, and we'd help pay for part of the expense. And the reason why I found out is that I had lunch with Mike Griffin, a friend of mine. And he says, Walter, he says, every day I go out and look at that meter that he decided to install and apply for it. It would cost $25,000 to install solar energy. But with the city council, the city's help, the state's help, and the federal help, he was able to get it down to $13,000. And he said, my CD is only getting 1.5%. So I put a CD in there, and he says, I got solar energy. Every day I look out there and look at that meter, the meter's running backwards. And he says, I feel great. And he says that, he says, what do you think I paid last month on the bill? I said, well, I paid $250 a month. He said, I paid $5. And then he laughed. And I said, well, you know, that's a great idea. And not only that, it provides the clean air. We don't have to have those polluting plants come up on us. We can do the same thing here in Dallas. I thought Dallas does things real big and real efficient. And I think Albuquerque had a great answer.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Otis Fagan.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Otis Fagan. I live at 2247 Scottman Drive, Dallas, Texas. And I'm here this afternoon to speak with you all concerning the lead in West Dallas. But we don't have but one request. One request, and that is to assign us an attorney under the court order that allows them to pursue the issues for the people of West Dallas that dropped through the cracks and was not served in the previous court order being served on the community. What I mean is, there are those among us who did not get representation, who did not receive compensation or any consideration whatsoever. And because of that, we was left out of the process. I know you're wondering how many, perhaps 1,300. Would you say 13,000 individuals? But I'm not here for them. Not entirely. Only 2,000 individuals that's in the organization that I represent. Clean Association for Environmental Justice. Now, the city attorney has been working with us, but we need a recommitment from the new mayor that we will be able to use attorney Tom Perkins or someone from his office to work with us on this issue. The recommitment would be to review this particular court order that made provisions for us to have representation, and it was agreed upon by the city attorneys to do this in the court order. So it shouldn't be a problem bringing that issue out and getting it reviewed and the attorney to work with us on carrying out the duties that was laid upon him by the court order for us to be compensated for our welfare losses, public health, and I guess the environmental. The environmental was basically one that you all have really, really made an issue of with the 3,500 vouchers that you all gave. That came from the survivors funds that were set aside by the EPA collected to pay that bill, the losses incurred by the people. But you didn't give it to the people of West Dallas. You gave it to citywide applicants who had the fastest feet to be first in line to receive an application. But the money was taken with the intent to serve just the 75212 zip code in West Dallas where the contamination was. So we feel like we've been left out of the process, unrepresented, and have a great loss that we have to endure when there is funds available to take care of this without us having to be the loser in the process. All we're asking for is an attorney to represent us. With the court ordered, this is supposed to be a no-brainer since it was already mandated by the court.
Thank you, Mr. Bacon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Clara McDade. The next speaker after Clara McDade will be Jane Kidd, followed by Robert Cacciarelli.
Good afternoon. My name is Clara McDade. I reside at 4127 Happy Canyon Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75241. To Mayor and all of the council members and city staff, I'd like to say today I'm here to talk about the McComas Bluff Sanitary Landfill. On July 21st, 2011, I submitted a letter as well as over 100 names on a petition indicating that the people do not want more trash in our community. We feel that the services that the City of Dallas is offering us will not be a benefit to our community. After development of the plant you propose to dump, you propose for the dump ground, and the 500 jobs are in place, the community that still leaves our community in a situation. Because first of all, after bringing those 500 jobs, we don't have nowhere to spend that money in our community. Because first of all, we don't have any stores. We're in the process of losing our post office. So we just have a big situation in this community. The one thing we need most of all that we're not getting, and the reason for us not getting what we need, is very unreasonable. We've also learned that our landfills in the Dallas County is dumping their garbage in our community. That means all trash is coming to one landfill, and that's McComas Landfill. We're very unhappy about this situation. Our community has become what we call just a regular dumping ground. We are very sad about that. We're very unhappy. We would appreciate it if you would take consideration of how we feel. And as I indicated, please take consideration of that petition that was submitted to you. These people could not be here today, but they put their names on that petition trying to let you know that this is unacceptable. I know I'm running out of time, but we have also a task force, and our president, our chairperson in that, on that task force is Michael Sorrell, and he also indicated that this is unacceptable too. And he wrote that in this article, which is from Southern Dallas Business and Living Magazine. He said that was unacceptable as well. Please take consideration of our feelings. I thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Jane Kidd. Jane Kidd. Not present. Robert Kidd. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Good afternoon to Mayor Rollins, to the city manager, to all the rest of the council members and the mayor pro tems. It's an opportunity to be with you today concerning this proposal for the landfill in the southern sector of Dallas, Texas. First of all, you know, in most cases, I don't know why, but it's just a thing about, let's put it across the track. We're coming to agreement now that we really should have surveys and some type of mandate for deciding where you really want to put the landfill here in the Dallas County area. I forgot to tell you, I reside at 6140 Balcony Lane here in Dallas, Texas. I've been living in Dallas for about 11 years now. But I'm a property owner in the College Terrace Edition down the street from Paul Quinn College. And we know that having these landfills, we need them, true enough, but we need to take more time and decide where they really must be and the best place to put them. So we say, I heard some figures tossed around about $20 million perhaps to be beneficial to the area that we live in. To my council member, Council Tennille Atkins, we want economical growth in our communities. We don't want a downgrade. We want an upgrade in our communities. The North Texas University over there where I live, not far from down the street on Camp Wisdom, and the new school that DISD is building right there on Camp Wisdom, right down the street from the police station, the latest police substation. We know that as community leaders and taxpayers in the community in which we live in, we should have a concern about these things, because right now, my home that I bought, and I'm not ashamed to say it, it cost $164,000, and right now that home done fell down to $89,000. That's a big loss. In 5 years, that's a big loss. And all of the citizens in the area, the Pine Brook area, all of the Crime Watch organizations and the HOAs that are there, the homeowners associations, they all say no to this proposal. We don't think it's good for our community, and the reason why we don't think it's good for our community is, number one, is this. Would it help the economical situation over there, or would it make it worse? I'm really concerned. This is my first meeting in being in the city council actually speaking, but I've been here several times. I'm a past member of the CWEF Crime Watch Executive Board here in Dallas, Texas. I'm also a senior pastor of the House of Prayer Fellowship International Church here in Dallas, Texas. And we also, my wife and I, Dr. Joseph Chiesa, sitting up in the back, raise your hand. We organized a crime watch called the Hourglass. And we are truly concerned citizens. And I would just like to say that we need to be concerned about trying to get a mandate on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Robert Cacciarelli.
Good afternoon. Robert Cacciarelli, 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard, 75235. I see some many city council members have talked to before.
Going back to the same subject, Mr. Mayor, I'm glad you're here. I'm to talk about the bridge and the homelessness. Been talking several times. I wouldn't say the city council is dysfunctional, but it's inept. I haven't get any response or any actions about the concerns of the city council with the bridge, and I'm glad you're here, sir, because I hear you're one of the architecturals for the bridge. And I was here the other day, and I've been talking for several weeks about the pavilion. No matter what you do with the pavilion, put in more fans, put in sprinklers with the water come out of fans, it's unlivable, sir. And the only way we're going to break the stalemate is one of the city council members or yourself, yourself, sir, is to stay down there for two nights at the bridge and see if you can function the following day. This is the only way to break the stalemate of the homelessness, and I'm very concerned about Ms. Hunt, about the park. You know, it shows prejudice, discrimination, and I'll talk about that next week, but I'm not seeing any action, I'm not seeing any concern, or any other care what's going on at the bridge. And if you think that San Diego, the way that courtyard is, and the way the open areas at the pavilion, you gotta be crazy, sir, to even think about building something like that. I was at the Homeless Alliance meeting at the library, and I found out the open air of the pavilion was because of tuberculosis. So you got Parkland Hospital right there. They can give the shots a negative and positive test for TB immediately and put them in the pavilion in a closed environment. So whatever that excuse is, sir, that was mind-boggling. You have the medics right there to give the shots immediately, and that's why I found out why there's an open air. I don't know what to say, but it's got to come down, all right? Because whatever you do, it's unlivable. It's unbelievable. It's every year. It's unbearable in the summertime. There's no special summers. Every year is like that. And Ms. Medrano, I talked to your office, and I'm getting different messages about why the pavilion was there. Your office says it's there because for a hangout, because of Hurricane Katrina. It was like a hangout for people. I'm hearing from Kim Horner and Homeless Alliance it was there for a shelter. So I'm getting different messages for why the pavilion was there. But if you want to help the homeless, it's got to come down, build a nice shelter like the county program for Salvation Army, where they stay there, the caseworkers can follow their care, and then they can move into the transitional housing, then they can move into supportive housing. But the way it is now at the pavilion, if you read my article, August 2nd, 2009, in the morning news, it says I went to jail on purpose because of homelessness. Until you knock it down, and Mr. Carwell, I asked you before those 1,500 jobs. Did you ever get that, sir, for the newspaper it said? Because the bridge claims to get 1,500 jobs.
Thank you.
I want to know if there's any difference in what was there before the Day Resource Center, but I'll be back next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunk. Not present. Trainer Trish will be followed by Jake Vincent and Carl McKenzie.
Good afternoon. I am Trina Trish, Dallas City. I'm here to speak on government corruption. It's funny that people have brought up the subject of ethics, homelessness, and budget. I'm a single black female. Female in both my birth certificate and my anatomy. I say that because I have a lump on my breast. And I utilize holistic treatment. My God is a healer, and I act like it. Ezekiel 47, and the leaves will be used for medicine, and the fruit for food. Nevertheless, because I refuse to allow medical drug dealers to say this and that, I refused help. help and services to get what I need to promote my business and my standard of living. Nevertheless, those same people that live in the shelter, if they say they're sick, they get a check and they do what they want to do. I tell you what, they're not sick when the first of the month comes. They know how to buy a place to stay for 2 days. Why don't you clean the house? If they get a check, then that means they can pay rent. That means they do not need shelter. Yet because of the medical partners that are affiliated with the tax-paying shelter, that's why they get to continuously stay there while you lay off city employees. If I worked there, two things would happen. They would either be in their own place or they would be shopping at Neiman Marcus when they have their sale. They can afford their things. Let's see how much the property owners who you increase their taxes would enjoy seeing homeless people who get checks go to Neiman Marcus while they're paying their bill for home and shelter. Let's see who's laughing then. Let's really talk ethics, because if you were really ethical, that bridge would have been cleaned up a long time ago. From the top administrators who are not doing what they should do to the bottom, who are taking advantage of those people who are sick. You know what you did? You don't have to stand in line to get a voucher, but they'll come and pass you this. Find help for mental or behavioral health issues at an outpatient MetroCare clinic. And then they target African American areas and they say all at one place. You can't get a driver's license all at one place. And let me say this, it is education, not population, that will raise a nation. Let's educate this place.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jake Vincent. Mr. Vincent, again, will be followed by Carl McKenzie.
Good afternoon to the mayor and council members that are present today. I'm not here to trouble you too long, but I'm just here to tell you about some things that are happening in the neighborhood that I live in, 3335 Munger Avenue. I'm representing the original North Dallas Friends and Family. We're an organization that works to keep the history, in so many words, over there where you see the Freedom Home at, but we're just adjacent. We are trying to keep the history of Roseland community because of the 60 years of history in Dallas. And we also working to enhance the living conditions of Roseland and adjacent communities. That's including Ross and going that direction. There's a lot of community in that area that people that comes in that area. But what I'm here today is about the Juneteenth celebration that we usually have. We have a Juneteenth celebration at J.W. Ray Park, which is across the street from the Roseland community. We've been having that program for the last 9 to 10 years, but it comes to our attention that it needs some more enhancements, and we're standing before the city today to try to work on and talking to Mr. Reed, John Reed or Jay Reed, and the 2012 bond issue, maybe to get some water fountains, maybe some lighting or electric in that particular park. Due to the fact, because we have that event, and due to the temperatures now, you know, we can have, well, we can have ice and different things to keep things cold and everything, but the way that park is designed, it's outdated, and it don't even have a water fountain. And we was asking for the water fountain because we can use the water fountain to probably get a water spigot tied into the water fountain so we can have for the water slide for the kids that we have on in Juneteenth. So I know that things, the city is tight with money, and I know that people don't want to spend money, but at the same time, This is a community that is giving services not just African Americans, but all cultures. And I feel that if you can build a park to tie downtown with other communities, you can do the same in our community. Because we also want to try to do some other things in our community. If funds are available, we want to try to work on trying to get a food pantry, and we want to try to get some health aids for the community, meaning that immunization shots and stuff for the kids in that particular place so they won't have to go across town doing other things. I know my time has been allowed, but I'm going to leave some information about our organization, plus a letter to the city addressing J.W. Ray Park.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Carl McKenzie. Carl McKenzie. Not present. Gwayne Wooten. Gwayne Wooten will be followed by Ricky Anderson. I'm sorry. I called it. Carl McKenzie was not present. Gwayne Wooten. I'm not sure who. What is her name, please? I'm sorry, we don't have her signed up to speak. Gwayne Wooten. I'll have staff get with her. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Congratulations to all you people. My name is Gwayne Wooten. We give the mayor a honeymoon period, so we're not going to get on you now, so just relax. I had an experience. See, I'm old. You know I'm old. I got up early. You got to get up early when you're old and go get a little cool after it gets too hot on June 30th. So I went outdoors sitting on the steps, drinking a cup of coffee up under the tree. I'm not in love with dogs now. Y'all know I don't really care about no dogs. I like children. So this man come across the street from his apartment complex to let his dogs use the bathroom. So I asked him, why did you come way over here to let your dogs use the bathroom? And y'all got the plastic bags and all this stuff over there for their dogs. Rich folks down there on Swiss out there in that suburban thing. So he told me his dog could use the bathroom any way he wanted to. Well, I suggest he go up there on Swiss Avenue and let him use the bathroom. This man come back and unhooked his dog and told me that he would tell him to attack me. Well, I said, well, you know, y'all did everything you can do to a nigga in this country, so what? What you gonna do? So I guess they thought I was gonna get up and run or something. I don't know what he thought. But he hooked the dog back up and walked up the street and told me he'd blow my brains out of my head. So I said, man, you done messed up. I gotta call the police now. So I called the police. Police officer came and we discussed what happened. And he went across the street and there was a witness there. And she said she knew where he lived and pointed there and everything. And they stood out there and talked. I know he got a shade dark out there talking to her and got a team. So he had asked me, did I want him to be investigated? And I told him, yes. I ain't heard nothing from nobody. Now, this gray-eyed dog that they have up there in Alaska, that them huskies or whatever they is, big old dog, he's going to stick this dog on me. Ain't nobody called me concerning that. And y'all know I've been down here 4 years talking about Miss Robinson getting mauled to death about a dog. Ain't nobody told me nothing. I want something done about this. I don't want nobody sending no dog attacking them attack dogs, them dogs that they got with them gray eyes. This is a big dog. And I want something done by him. That's why I come down here. And when I come down here for about 6 weeks, Mayor, I won't be bothering you because I don't know you yet. But I'm going to give you a little break. You got about 6 weeks, so I'll do something. But I want something done by this dog right here. That's what I come down here today for. I come down here to check y'all.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ricky Anderson. Ricky Anderson is not present. Sandra Crenshaw is not present. Your final speaker allowing a suspension of the rules, please, is Irma Curtis. Accessible to the council? Thank you. Irma Curtis, please step up to the podium, Ms. Curtis. If you'll give us, yes,
If you'll give us your name and your address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm probably going to talk a little loud because I'm a little louder. I'm a little hard of hearing. In fact, I need a hearing aid.
We can hear you fine.
Okay, my name is Irma Curry. If I live at 1703 East Missouri Avenue, Dallas, Texas. And I'm here in behalf of our street group, 06455. They're going to pave our streets. Missouri, Illinois, and Fowler. And we have been to two meetings the group has, and we still are not getting a clear picture of this. My understanding is supposed to start around December of this year. And they have also sent us papers. I do have the paper where we might be able to get a grant to pay for our part, but some of our people are complaining because most of us are senior citizens in this block. Most of us are retired. Most of us are widows. I know I am. So we're widows. And we have older homes. And we're wondering if we're not able to get this grant to help pave our street. We're wondering what our next step is going to be. Because, as you know, everything is tight right now. In fact, I'm trying to sell my house because I can't really not afford it because my husband died in 2008 and left me a widow. So I'm wondering if the city would consider paying all of the part to pave the street. I don't know whether they would do it or not, but I'm asking them to be as lenient as possible with us in paving our streets because we really just don't have the money. We are just barely getting along as senior citizens and widows and retirees. And I know that all of us have worked all of our lives. I'm 78, and I worked ever since I was 12 years old. So I worked all my life, and I think we deserve something as senior citizens. So I'm really asking the city if they would be as lenient as possible with the fees on paving our streets. That's what I'm asking the city council. Please ask them if they would be considered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. This is the first time I've been here, and I didn't know the procedure. And that's my council member there, Brother Dwayne Calloway. I've been to several of his meetings. But I thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
Well, you're welcome. And we're going to have someone from Public Works speak with you about your project, since most of us worked since we were 12, too, so we understand. We're with you.
That concludes your speaker.
Okay. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And let me say to my constituent about getting that street paved, and she's there talking with Jill Jordan. Jill, Ms. Jordan, Ms. Jordan.
Ms. Jordan.
Let me get her attention for just a second. If you just do me one favor, and I'm going to bring that one. Step out here, Forrest. We're going to handle this and get this together. And you see this one right here? He and I, we're going to come over to your house, and you pull out that big switch, and then you tell us what we need to do about that street over there. But remember his face right there. And he's the one I want you to remember. Okay? We're going to come to your house, and we're going to get you some help and get some understanding for you, okay? And your street is going to be paved. I want you to know that. Also, while I have the microphone, Mayor, let me just say this. Ms. Hunt is not here, but Ms. Medrano is here. And I enjoyed the Juneteenth over at the park that the gentleman spoke about. In fact, it was one of the most well-organized Juneteenth celebrations that even I have ever attended. What I saw over at that park on this past Juneteenth, the community came out. When I tell you that, I'm talking about the people that live in that area. They came out. The men were barbecuing, the ladies, and they playing dominoes. They had water. They had every single thing under the sun. It was the most well-organized, put-together Juneteenth for a community, and I've been to a lot of Juneteenth celebrations. With that, I'm only saying and suggesting that we're going to help you as best we can. Not monetarily with money. I want to make sure you understand it. I want to help you try to, and we're going to do this through the representatives with Ms. Medrano and Ms. Hunt, but I want to figure out how we can enhance and embrace the Juneteenth celebration that's there, because that's one community that shows me something that my community and other communities that I represent should pattern after. And you all came together. I appreciate it. The kids were playing. The adults were there. The families were there. The homeless was there. Everybody was at this Juneteenth celebration, and it is to be talked about and commended. So with that, Mayor, I'll get with you, and I'll get with the representatives, and we'll try to see what we can do to help.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all the public speakers that took time out of their day to come down here to City Hall and give us your wisdom. I appreciate it. I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay, second? Second, Matasso. All in favor say aye. Meeting's adjourned at 2:57 p.m. Thank you.